Bus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The U.S. will have its leading goal scorer for tonight's World Cup Round of 16 match against Belgium at 8. Fuller and Balogun will be eligible to play after FIFA suspended his red card from Wednesday's win versus Bosnia, marking the first time since 1962 that a World Cup red card didn't end in suspension. In today's White House briefing, President Donald Trump said he called FIFA President Gianni Infantino to ask for a review of the call, while the Belgian Federation wants an explanation from FIFA on the reversal. Baseball, Sal Stewart and Chase Burns will represent the Reds, and Travis Bezzana, Cade Smith, and Parker Messick for the Guardians in the MLB All-Star Game July 14th from Philadelphia. Reds and Guards both off today. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/visa. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice in the house today for AR. Is the one and only national champ. Olin Tangi's own. His name is Joshua Perry. JP, welcome back in, big dog. How you feeling today, my man?
Feeling pretty good.
Good.
Had a good holiday weekend. Hope everybody else did and they stayed safe and cool because it was scorching hot out there.
It was cooking. It was cooking out there last week and weekend. Zeke's in the house for TLC. I'm going to echo everything JP just said about the holiday weekend. I hope you guys had a great one. We're going to have a fun show, or we have a fun show lined up for you guys today. Top of the hour, 1 o'clock. If you're new to this, listen closely. We got a segment just for you. It's called The Floor Is Yours. So 614-821-9710. This is your segment. You get to call in and talk about anything and everything that you want. Best caller, according to Zeke, is going to get a Skyline Chili gift card. So it's always a good time over at Skyline. Enjoy a couple cheese conies or a Skyline three-way. So top of the hour, The Floor Is Yours, 614-821-9710. 2 o'clock, Neil Sika, who does some play-by-play announcing for MLS on Apple TV, he's going to stop by to get us ready for USA versus Belgium tonight at 8 o'clock, which I know is a massive deal for a lot of you people. So we got a lot going on, JP. We got a fun show coming out of a holiday weekend. How was your holiday weekend, sir?
It was good. We took it pretty easy this weekend. I think the heat was kind of the dictator for how we were going to handle things, right?
Yeah.
Typically, you want to get out there, do a little partying, you know, maybe a little bit of drinking in the yard, have some neighbors, some friends over. It was too damn hot for all that.
Yeah.
So I hopped on the grill. I threw some stuff down, some burgers, some dogs, you know, just regular stuff.
Yeah.
I sweated through my shirt. So I had a fit. Like I was ready to go for the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Had my shorts on, had a little button up shirt, you know, kind of a little vibe.
Looking the part, brother. Looking the part.
I had to change before I even got to eat. I mean, I sweated that thing down. Yeah. It was so hot out there. So it was good though. We enjoyed ourselves.
I am one of those people, JP, to where I usually sweat doing anything. Anything, right? Let alone in this type of heat that we had going on the last couple of days. I took like a couple things out to the trash can or to the dumpster.
Oh yeah,
from my apartment, which is probably about 50 yards, right? So a handful of trash bags that I took to dripped in sweat when I got back.
Yeah,
I'm that person.
I feel that bead of sweat start to trickle down my back.
Oh, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah,
there's nothing I can do. So I have to have, when I'm sleeping, the AC on blast, fan on blast. Like I am that guy because I will sweat in my sleep. And if I wake up out of my sleep via sweat, I'm cooked.
Okay, you're done.
There's been certain times where I've woken up sweaty, mm-hmm. right? Pillowcases, my neck sweating, all that stuff. I've literally changed the sheets in the middle of the night because I'm not going to sleep on damp sheets.
You're better than I am because I have done that more times than I'd like to admit.
Yeah.
Where I've woken up in just a puddle of sweat. I will just go to the couch at that point. That's a project for the morning.
Okay.
I'm not doing that
too much. Too much time wasted.
Yes.
Okay. I understand that. Zeke, how was your holiday weekend, man?
Oh, it was a good one. It was scorching hot, though. I'm not much of a sweater, though. But for me,
really?
I've got to keep, it's got to be ice cold heading into the night. Like during the daytime, I'll flip on and off the AC because I'm kind of a not much of a spender.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit stingy on the AC.
Okay.
I'm turning that on and off. But during the nighttime, crank that thing all the way down. And if I get hot, immediately waking up and just pushing it farther. By the time we wake up in the morning, it's like an ice box.
Nobody's doing socks while we're sleeping, right? Like that.
No.
I am a sock sleeper. How
Whoa.
Can you do that?
No wonder you're hot.
How can you do that?
It's really... It doesn't bother me. I don't think it's like uncomfortable. People are like, oh man, I can't get comfortable. It's socks. Like you wear socks all day long, grow up a little bit. So it's not a discomfort thing. My wife is also anti my feet touching anything in the house. She's like, you got some.
Keep the bunions away from me.
Some nasty feet.
Some dogs. Huh?
Crusty toes. I don't want your foot residue in the bed whatsoever.
Okay. So I've learned a lot about you here. So you're a man that sleeps with socks on.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the season is
doesn't
what you're
matter.
Telling. You're also, if I'm remembering this correctly, a man that likes to nap in jeans.
So I've got to be on the lookout because these napping jeans are about to sweep the nation.
Napping jeans.
They're about to sweep the nation. I got a little promo coming here soon for the napping.
Oh my
They're
goodness.
So these jeans are so comfortable, you can't help but fall asleep wearing them.
So you would think that they can maybe, you know, go as maybe some pajama pants is what you're saying.
I mean,
that comfortable?
That's how comfortable they
okay.
are.
Okay. Well, listen, if you blow up with this, you know, business venture that you're cooking up here, can I get a cut?
Yeah.
Can I get a cut? I think I was here when you took this public.
We can find you some napping jeans if you really want some.
I saw this and I think Pringles must be stopped. Coming out of the holiday weekend. Because I don't know if you guys saw this. Because, you know, 4th of July, as you mentioned, burgers, dogs. That's kind of the vibe for a lot of people for a nice cookout during holiday season. But Pringles, and I saw this morning, they announced that they're rolling out limited edition hot dog buns. So the buns are packaged in a Pringles can,
mm-hmm.
and they come in flavors of sour cream and onion, mm-hmm. barbecue, and honey mustard.
I'm out.
What are we doing?
So
we take things too far. We just do.
I'm anti-flavored chips to begin with.
Oh.
I think potatoes are so good just being fried and salted. I don't need any of the extra flavorings. Hmm. I don't like the dust on my fingers. It's a whole thing. So the amount of flavors that you find on Pringles and other chips anyway is bad. I definitely don't need this though.
No. And now my mind is like, how many of these hot dog buns can fit in a Pringles can?
One, two max.
Two max, right? Max.
You're squeezing it.
And then, because that's a single serving. How many dogs are you eating? I mean, I don't know how many, but how many dogs is a normal person eating? That's a single
that's
serving.
A good question. At a cookout, if you're there, I'm like a two hot dog guy, there for a few hours.
I think I slam four on the first plate.
Because then I like to go venture into, I need a hamburger, cheeseburger, and all
yeah,
that stuff.
I have one of those too.
I love a good hot dog, JP, but I don't need a flavored hot dog bun.
This is where
I don't need that.
I feel like we've gotten to a place where we can't just enjoy the typical things anymore.
Can't.
You know, everything's got to be like the goldfish, right?
Yeah.
Kids like to eat the goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
They got the flavor blasted ones that they put the extra cheese dust on. Why? Who the hell asked for that? We don't need that. The regular goldfish is just
fine. That's
all we need. This is where we're at.
This is exactly where we're at. I can't keep up with what Oreo was doing. I feel like every time I look up, Oreo is doing cake stirs and ice cream and Reese Cup and Oreo are doing a collab together. It's just my mind can't handle it.
Just give me a regular, a double stuff and the golden Oreo, I'm good.
That's it. All day and tomorrow. I think I saw this weekend on the shelves, JP. I was at Giant Eagle somewhere. It was, I think, a cinnamon roll Oreo. Cinnamon roll Oreo. What haven't they done at this point? That's where we're at.
Are they struggling? Like, is Oreo struggling right now, dude? Are they trying to?
I think
are they
the
trying
opposite.
To find new business?
I think they know that whatever they put out there on the shelves is going to pop, and so kids are going to eat this stuff up because it's actually ridiculous. The concoctions that they're coming up with is absolutely
imagine
insane.
Working for them though, and you just get to spitball these different ideas.
Yeah, they're just bored.
Yeah.
They're like, obviously we're just making tons of money on the regular ones. What will they try next?
Yeah.
What can we pump out there that they'll hate? Come on, we gotta find one.
The taste testing gig, though, at Oreo, that's probably where you want to be. That's probably one of the best gigs going right there.
Might be a decent job.
Yeah, just sit there and just
roll
through.
How much do you think it pays, though?
A taste tester?
Like, it's an important job because that's what they're going to take to market.
Right.
But
That is
a
great
question. There are a lot of
people
who would want to do it.
Like McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, right. That when they throw out these new burgers or chicken sandwiches or whatever,
yeah.
What can you make as a taste tester?
I'm curious.
It's got to be decent coin. Right. I would hope with
the Google
hundreds of millions that these companies make. So, yes, welcome in. Hope you guys had a great holiday weekend. Hope you guys ate some great food. We got a lot to unpack. Coming up next, Greg McElroy, one of the biggest names in the college football landscape when it comes to analyzing the sport. He did a comparison between Jeremiah Smith and Miami's Malachi Toney. Who does he deem as the more complete player going into 2026? You will hear his take next. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plan on a scattered shower or storm chance for the rest of the day. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. We see high temperatures in the mid-80s. Any stray showers or storms end early tonight with a partly cloudy sky. Still warm, though. Lows around 70. Mid-80s again on Tuesday. Another humid one. Might be another shower or storm. Again, mainly during the afternoon and evening. For the Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan Ohio sports destination.
Truth of the matter is, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
That you are, that you are. Welcome back in, Matty Ice, Joshua Perry in the building today. Top of the hour, it's Monday, so it's your segment at 1 o'clock. The floor is yours. 614-821-9710 is Zeke's hotline number. Best caller gets a Skyline Chili gift card. We had a great showing last week from our callers. You guys are the best. But we had one caller that had to come circle back. Actually, a friend of a caller had to circle back. Country Club Carl. I don't know if you heard about Country Club Carl.
Mm-mm.
Last week on the show, his boy called in, laid out what happened when he was on a date. He entered, you know, the female's apartment that he was on a date with, had to use the bathroom very badly. JP,
one or two.
He went with the latter. He went with two.
All right,
this is an issue. You know, he left some stuff behind in her trash can. It was crazy.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What did he
leave behind?
He left the dirty drawers in the trash can.
Oh, he was in a bad way.
He was in a bad way.
Was there not a place to stop on the way over?
I guess not. But he felt like he needed to complete the mission.
Ooh.
He did so. He called in the next day. And then we find out the Country Club Carl's got a girlfriend elsewhere. And so the floor is yours can lead to a lot of different things. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're here for you. Whatever you want to call in and talk about, JP, myself, and Zeke, we're here for you again. Top of the hour, 614-821-9710 is the hotline number. Best caller gets a Skyline Chili gift card. So we're getting closer to training camps popping off for college football. JP, I saw this morning that I believe it's either the ACC or SEC. They are getting ready to kick off their media day starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten will follow in the coming weeks. And so that ball will get rolling. But the comparisons of great players never stops in any sport, no matter what we're talking about. And Greg McElroy from ESPN on his podcast was asked to compare Jeremiah Smith and Malachi Toney. Malachi Toney last year at Miami comes onto the scene as a freshman and balls out at a very high level. We know here what Jeremiah Smith has been doing the last couple of years since he entered the landscape of college football as a freshman as well. But here's Greg's back and forth in his own mind of who he believes maybe is the more complete football player at the moment.
Who do you think is the all-around better football player, Jeremiah Smith or Malachi Toney? The answer is Malachi Toney. Jeremiah Smith is, without question, the best wide receiver in college football. Full stop, right? I'm not saying he's better than Jeremiah Smith at playing wide receiver. He is not. But what I'm saying is that Malachi Toney is a different kind of football player entirely. That's because he has to be. He doesn't have Jeremiah Smith's size. He does not have Jeremiah Smith's physical dominance at the catch point. He's just 5'11", 188. And that 5'11 might be a touch generous. If you look back to his senior year of high school, he was American Heritage's starting quarterback when the starter actually had a season-ending impending injury in the state playoffs. Well, Tony steps in, throws for over 520 yards on 53 attempts as a high school starting quarterback. He led American Heritage to the state championship and was named the Florida High School Football Player of the Year. He decides to reclassify, enrolls early at Miami, and immediately became the best player on a team that went all the way to the national championship game. So when I say that Malachi Tony is a better all-around football player, that's a full picture.
As a former player, when you hear another former player painting those pictures and splitting the hairs there, because that's to me kind of what I'm hearing, JP, do you understand where he's coming from?
I understand. I just disagree. Right? Like, I think the idea that he has to play differently because he lacks the size, I think that's true. Maybe they ask him to do different things as a result. I think that's true. But if we're like wide receiver or football player, like Jeremiah is winning that one. Maybe Jeremiah, like you can't run a gadget play where he throws the football. Maybe that's the one thing that he's not going to do. But we see how they use Malachi Tony. They, you know, they use him in screens. They give him the push passes, right? The reverses, all that kind of stuff. I think if that's what you wanted to do with Jeremiah, you certainly could do it. I just feel like you're taking away some of his best skill set. The other part about it too is like the size for me is a real thing with Tony. I'm not saying that a small wide receiver can't be successful, but that to me could be a problem. And especially as he starts to get older, he's going to have to bulk up a lot more. Mm-hmm. We saw some times where he just got ragdolled, tossed. We saw some times where the ball hit the ground because he got hit. He's a smaller guy. So I get what he's trying to say here. I just don't agree with any of it.
And I also don't need what Malachi Tony did as a quarterback at this level either, right? It's fun that you can do that stuff at high school, get away with those things at a high level, but I don't think Mario Cristobal is going to be asking Malachi Tony to do those things week in and week out. It may be maybe a handful of times a year.
If you ask him to do that, then you're admitting that you don't think he's that good of a wide receiver.
Correct. And you're asking him to cover up some other deficiencies elsewhere within your offense to do that. Malachi Tony's an absolute dude, right? We all know it. Last year led the nation in receptions with a 109 of those. You mentioned the frame, 5'11". What would you say? 210.
I wouldn't even get
210.
190.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
He's not big.
Yeah, he's not big, but he is a. Because to me, when I hear Greg McElroy painting that picture of Malachi Tony, I kind of hear a little bit of the Taysom Hill description, right? But I think Malachi Tony is a better player than that. But I do think when you talk about individual talents and what these guys are asked to do week in and week out, Jeremiah and Malachi Tony may be asked to do different things within the Ohio State offense and the Miami offense. We've seen, though, from Jeremiah, to your point, right out of the gate, establish himself as a dude. Over the next couple of years after that, show that I can hurt defenses in different ways. I think about the second Oregon matchup in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
One of those early impact plays from Jeremiah right away was kind of that end aroundish play, right? Where he gets that pop pass and he's gone to the house. Like, he's showcasing.
And that's what Tony does.
Correct. They both do that. And I think that's what makes them terrifying to deal with. Where I think a lot of people would lean is the stature part of it, to your point.
No doubt.
Is that you're talking about two guys that can move around within an offense, but one of these guys looks like an absolute freak out there. And the other one, who is a great player in his own right, there's questions about, will this guy be able to make it through weeks and years of playing that style of football?
Yeah, it just doesn't wow you with the stature whatsoever. And once again, like, I'm not trying to take anything away from him as a player, but it's like, you know, if he's going to be high volume and that much wear and tear, you do start to worry a little bit of how much he holds up. And then, you know, like, I'd be curious if Ohio State came out with packages where Jeremiah lined up next to the quarterback, like Miami is done with Malachi Tony. What does that do to a defense, and how could they utilize him there? Because I'm sure if they wanted to do that, they could.
Yes.
It's just the fact that the offense doesn't necessarily need to do that, and certainly Jeremiah doesn't have to line up in all those different places to be able to get open and make an impact.
No question, right? Because you're talking about, you know, with the idea of moving Jeremiah into the backfield. We've seen guys like Deebo Samuel in the NFL be wide receiver / playmakers. And a guy like Kyle Shanahan, when Deebo was at his peak, you really didn't know where he was lining up coming out of the huddle, snap in and snap out. Completely agree with you that Jeremiah could do that and then some. JP, when you're looking at where Jeremiah is right now, going into 2026, what's left for him to, I guess, prove is the right word, which I don't think there's much to prove, but him now getting ready for the next step, which we all know is the NFL. What do you think is next for him? What tools could he maybe sharpen just a little bit?
I mean, on the field, it doesn't feel like there are a ton of tools for him to sharpen. I think he's a very good route runner. We've seen him win with his size. We've seen him win with the speed. We have seen him win catching the ball in shorter areas, which maybe is the next step, right? Like, can you be a little bit more explosive when you catch the ball closer to the wide receiver? We've seen him win over the top. Mm-hmm. For me, I look at Jeremiah, and I think every elite player has that elite level of motivation and leadership. And from a vocal standpoint, too, it's not just, you know, being the guy who shows up at workouts and you're just kicking everybody's ass. And it's not being the guy who, you know, is dependable on game day. But like when you're in that crunch time moment in the huddle on the sideline, can you be that voice, mm-hmm. right? And don't want to overshadow your quarterback. And I totally get that. But if you're going to be the best player on the team, you got to use that voice. And so I think that's always been the next step for him, is a quiet, business-like guy.
Yeah.
You got to step outside of your comfort zone a little bit with that.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard former players talk about what you're alluding to, right? And is where one of the leaders of the team, let's say like a Tim Duncan-ish type of guy, right? That's soft-spoken, but his game is as loud as it can possibly be. When that guy goes throughout the season with his actions and he doesn't really say much, you know that, hey, he's saying, just follow me. Mm-hmm. But when that same guy finally steps up and does voice a little bit of his displeasure, it hits a little harder. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's what you're talking about with Jer, and he may be doing that already.
Right.
But everything that we've seen is guys should be following his actions regardless, right? Like if you're a young guy, you're Chris Henry, you're some of these guys that are coming in to this program, everything you hear about number four is this guy is about nothing but business. Mm-hmm. And all he does is go out there and grind. And when you have that, that leads us down the path of coaches, you know, saying, hey, when you've got one of your best players as one of your hardest workers, that's the dream for some coaches. And it seems like Ohio State's had that over the last few years at that right. position. When you look at Marvin and you look at Garrett and Chris and how these guys just seem like, hey, we're going to let our game do the talking. And Jeremiah is one of those guys.
Yeah. And by the way, like, I think we, Jeremiah was so good so early on that I think our expectations of him in every aspect of the game were so high. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of step back and say, okay, like, came in freshman phenom, and then he's a sophomore. And I remember back to my days as a sophomore, like, it's difficult to feel like you want to really use your voice when you got some more veteran guys around. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this year is the year in terms of who is Jeremiah as a voice in the locker room and as a leader. And from everything that I've been told, like, that has been a point of emphasis and he's embraced it.
No, it's interesting, JP, because I think you can say the same thing about two of the leaders of this year's team, both Julian and Jeremiah.
Yep.
Tremendous players in their own right, but where are they at with being the vocal leader at this point in their career? Because it's probably needed with where they are in the pecking order of leadership right now. Coming up in 2 minutes, 24/7 Sports, they've mapped out 100 lesser known players around college football that could be breakout stars in 2026. There are a couple Buckeyes on the list. We will share that with you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the
Council. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Fascinating, informative, covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Happy Monday to you. Joshua Perry in the building today. Top of the hour. The floor is yours. 614-821-9710 is Zeke's hotline number. Looking forward to hearing from you guys. As always, best caller will get a Skyline Chili gift card. JP, you said some people in the chat were, what are they, dunking on you for the Sox take?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening right now?
It's catching a little bit of heat.
Rightfully
so. It's not just the Sox. I gave the potato chip take, which for me, potatoes, fat, and salt, all you really need. You don't need all the extra stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I gave this take when I was doing Tebow and Tebow, him too.
Shout out to Tim.
T-Bone and Tyvis, yeah. Where I think that vanilla ice cream is the alpha ice cream. And I'm catching a little bit of heat from some of the chatters because they say I have bad takes.
The alpha ice cream?
Yeah.
So you're power ranking all the wonderful flavors in the world of ice cream. And for you, sitting on the Iron Throne is just plain vanilla.
Yeah, I can eat
vanilla bean?
Vanilla bean.
Okay.
I can eat it on its own.
Yeah.
You can put it with just about any other dessert to enhance it.
Okay.
Right? Like you're not putting Rocky Road with a peach cobbler.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not doing
but
that.
You're putting a
I'm
nice...
not even putting Rocky Road with apple pie either.
You're putting a nice scoop of vanilla
dollop.
Bean.
A nice dollop.
That's right. And that's what I'm getting at.
I don't know which take I dislike more. The plain chips take or the vanilla ice cream take. And just to be clear, your plain chip take is... That also is the number one in power ranking of flip chips. Chip flavor as yes. well. Say that three times in a row.
Yes.
So number one for you on both boards, mm-hmm. vanilla bean ice cream and just plain chips.
It's the original. It's the classic. I feel like we have an issue in society right now with the classics.
The chip take
we're trying to get to cute
more. Why? We are getting a cute, but there's just that can't be number one.
Like who wants to? And I know there are people. But who wants to eat a dill pickle chip?
Nobody. I don't want to do that.
Okay, but that is a popular flavor.
That wouldn't even right? be in my top 15, I think.
But you know what you do if you want that is you actually go get a dill pickle chip, right? So it feels to me like it's a bit dumb and redundant. A jalapeno chip.
Okay.
That's fine.
See, okay.
Enjoy. We don't need that.
I don't need to be that deep in the weeds with chip flavor. So I'll rock with you on that. But I'm talking about like some of the OGs, right? Like a salt and vinegar. Just no, give me a barbecue. Sour cream and onion. Yeah,
sour cream and onion is terrible. It doesn't taste like sour cream or onion.
That's tough.
It tastes like some artificial fake version of that.
I'm worried about your palate.
Barbecue, there's one brand, Rippos. Hartville potatoes.
Okay.
Potato chips. That's the only barbecue chip that I like. That's it.
Okay. So growing up in Ohio, Grippo's never did anything for you.
It was fine.
Okay.
But it wasn't really something that I went to.
Zeke, break the tie. Where are you at?
I don't hate the chip take because I think, but I would say it has to be a kettle cooked. If
I'll
we're going with an original flavored chip.
Nice
but
and
if,
crunchy.
If we're doing ice cream, I can't get down. I see the argument because I do like vanilla with everything, but I'm too much of a mint chocolate chip guy. That's
so
my number
like
one
toothpaste
alpha.
Toothpaste ice cream
oh,
is what
I
you
love
like.
It.
That's fine.
It's pretty much what I exclusively eat ice cream wise.
But you're my wife likes. If you want toothpaste, get you some Colgate.
Your stance is also kind of rooted in pairing your ice cream with something
it's not,
else to
it's
make
not,
it better.
Because I like vanilla soft serve is... That is perfect for me.
Just straight
like
up.
Like a scoop of vanilla in a cup is perfect for me.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Gooey butter cake Jenny's ice cream would be the alternate for me. If I was going to go with something else that wasn't just a vanilla bean,
uh-huh.
I would go with the gooey butter cake from Jenny's.
I love walking in.
That's like $17 for a pint. So I'm just going to get the regular OG vanilla bean.
Okay. All right. Listen, man, to each his own. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I'm not seeing the same vision that you have. Let's real quick, before we get to 24/7 sports, because they mapped out some breakout players around college football this season. There's 100 people on this list and there's a couple Buckeyes there. There's some fun audio going around from Joe McGuire, former Buckeye, and he kind of took us behind the scenes, JP, of if you're late to a Coach Mick Marotti morning workout, what the punishment is if you show up a minute or two late. Here he is on the pod.
Training will start at 6:30. You have to be there at 6.
Yep.
If you're a minute late, it is a disaster. Like, I would rather crash my car than like show up late. Like, it is so bad.
For what reason?
You'll have a dawn patrol on Saturday, so you've got to be there at 6. You're cleaning the weight room. You're restocking fridges. Then after that, you'll have community service. Then on Monday, if you're the
community service,
this isn't just you, by the way. This is you and your entire unit. So this is if I'm late, it's me and all the other specialists and my coach. Then you're kicked out of the locker room for 3 days. You're like Harry Potter, you're under the stairs. That's where you get changed and live for the 3 days, you and your entire unit and your coach. And then, you have to do a lock-in on Monday. You have to go and work at football, and they make sure you're doing your homework, and they'll drive you to and from class. And yeah, so no good. You don't want to be late.
I got to tell you this. Mm-hmm. The thing that surprised me the most was the and your coach part of it, too.
Yep.
Not that you guys had to do some things that may have been a little crappy, but the fact that your position coach was baked into the punishment as well, that surprised me.
That was the worst part of any of these punishments. Now, I actually missed a workout my freshman year. I didn't have a car on campus. This was, I early enrolled, so I'm 17. My parents are like, you don't need a car. Yes, I do, because the Woody literally isn't on campus. So I took the wrong bus because I, had to take a CODA bus.
Yeah.
And I was confused on the whole situation there. And so I missed a workout and I caught hell for the longest. Like, it was terrible.
So I've experienced this from my own doing and also from some of my teammates not being on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of you got to come in on a Saturday at 6 a.m., that's bad. You got to bring all your unit mates along, that's bad. Then the community service, all that kind of stuff. Imagine a coach having to go home and say to their wife and their children, hey, Saturday morning during the offseason, which is one of the times that we get to enjoy together, I won't be able to spend it with you guys because I had a dude who couldn't be on time. I had a dude who can't do things right.
Yeah.
I had a dude who my livelihood is tied to, by the way, who just can't show up when he's supposed to. So instead of spending time with you and going to the farmer's market, whatever the hell these guys are doing, I got to go be in there at 6 a.m. because my guys can't get right.
Dog house.
Brother.
Dog house.
Involving the coach in the punishment is the worst part of the punishment.
That's a first for me.
Yeah.
That is a first for me. I want to go back to your story because you're telling us that you missed the entire practice. Not, hey,
it was an off-season workout.
I'm 10 minutes late. You missed the whole thing.
The whole thing.
So what's that call like to Urban?
Who did
you report to first?
I texted Mickey Marotti, which he didn't have his phone on him because he's training guys. Everybody but me at that point. And I'm like, hey, I'm mixed up. I'm not even close to campus right now. I got on the wrong bus, like the whole deal.
Yeah.
And he took pity on me because I was a freshman and laughed, but also was like, yeah, I'm getting this get back though. Like we're going to have to figure this out so you can get on the right bus next time.
So you sprints, extra weightlifting.
So they would have you come in and do like extra weights. They would have you clean the whole weight room.
Okay.
So you would take each of the plates off of like the racks and they would have you spray them down and wipe them down and put them back like that. That is tedious.
Annoying.
It's annoying. Yeah, and then it's tiring because you're moving every weight in the weight room to do it. So they have this thing called forceful adaptation. So Mickey Marotti explained this really well. People say you can bring a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. Forceful adaptation would say that you bring that horse to water and you tell it to drink. And if it does not drink, you hold the horse's head under the water and it will either decide to drink or it won't make it. It is going to drown.
Okay.
And so that was his way of forceful adaptation is like, either you're going to show up when we ask you to, or we're going to make it so you show up or you quit. That's it.
Love it. Love it. Testing you guys. That's for sure. 24/7 Sports JP. List of 100 college football breakout stars for the 2026 season. Two defensive players for Ohio State made the list. They are Devin Sanchez and Peyton Pierce.
Okay.
Which guy excites you more going into the upcoming season?
I think they're both exciting.
Yeah.
You know, Sanchez, to me, like, he has all of the tools that you would like in a lockdown defender. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I think, you know, for the defense, I think the pressure is on early in terms of how much can they get over the summer and some of the training sessions they're allowed to have. Training camp starts and things get pretty serious because week two of the season, you got a huge matchup with this quarterback that everybody forgot all the bad plays he had. And they said he's one of the best in the country. It's neither here nor there. And then for Peyton Pierce, like guy we saw some, I saw him over at the Woody this spring. He looks like a linebacker. He talks like a linebacker. And I think he is going to play like a really good linebacker.
And he's being coached up by an elite linebacker as well. And we've had a nice flow year in and year out over the last few seasons, JP, of really good linebacking play, right? Like those guys, and you know that position very, very well, from Cody Simon to Sonny Styles to Arvell Reese to all of these guys the last few seasons. Those guys have been lights out, man.
They have.
For the most part. There's been some good ball up front in front of those guys, like Caden McDonalds and the Tyleek Williams and those guys doing their job.
Really helps.
But the linebackers have been answering the call, man, week in and week out over the last few seasons. Those guys have been flying around making plays.
James Laurinaitis is a really good coach because he is super intelligent, but he understands how to communicate with players. He speaks that language. He knows how to teach. I think teaching is a part of coaching is one of the most underrated traits, right? People are like, oh, can he recruit? And, you know, what does his sideline fit look like on game day? Like, everybody's worried about the wrong things. When you get into a meeting room can you teach from a conceptual standpoint in a way that guys can understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you might be a guy that needs to have walkthroughs in order to really understand the concepts. You got other guys who might need to see what you're showing them on a diagram paired up with the tape so they can understand. And he's figured that out with his room because all those guys go out there and execute at a high level.
You know, it's cool too because I, in, you know, similar light, what you're talking about, I love when coaches come into a new building with new guys and they make it known that, yes, I have a system, but I'm going to cater to what you do mm-hmm. well and get to know you as a player and then see if those skill sets can fit inside of my system. And I love when coaches have that mentality more so than, hey, this is just what I do. You adjust as a player.
So Urban used to have this big thing about it where he's like, it's not the system. We don't have the system. The player is the system. And if you think as a coordinator or a coach, you're going to come in here and teach your system and it doesn't work for the players, you'll be out of here before I get rid of the players. And I think it's real. Like the players have to really fit in.
Coming up next, we round out the first hour on a Monday, as we always do, with Party Like a Rockstar. Then after that, it's your segment at the top with The Floor Is Yours, 614-821-9710. We'll be back in moments with Rothman and Ice right here on the
6.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's Gaudi gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90 degree weather. It's all there.
Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a rock star.
All right, let's get to it, JP. Joshua Perry in the house today. I'll lead us off. I'm going to start with a man that was born in Massillon, Ohio, and attended the Ohio State University. He is a first-time All-Star, and he plays for the Detroit Tigers. His name is Dylan Dingler. Incredible baseball name, and this dude is having a monster first half of the season. At the 80-game mark, Dylan Dingler has a career best 19 home runs, 59 RBIs, 18 doubles, and 2 triples. Only 2 Detroit Tigers in history have that many, those type of numbers at the 80-game mark, and it's Hall of Famer Hank Greenberg and Rocky Colavito back in 1961. So it's always cool to see, JP, guys that were born and raised here in Ohio come to Ohio State, go on to the show to do some big time things, and he is doing that. He's from Stark County. There have only been 2 other men from Stark County that have made All-Star games. You may have heard of one of them. One of those guys is Thurman Munson. So that is now the company that Dylan Dingler has now joined. Monster stuff from a catcher. Whenever you get that type of offensive productivity, he's doing that in the AL Central. So Jackson High School's own Dylan Dingler going to his first MLB All-Star game after being called up just a couple of years ago. He's making a name for himself in the league, JP. Dylan Dingler partying like a rock star.
Dingler, I agree with you. Hell of a baseball name. You said the first since 2010 Buckeye to make the All-Star game? I think I might have seen that somewhere.
That sounds about right. JP. Yeah, he is with some elite company, man. When you look at guys like Nick Swisher, Frank Howard, and Johnny Edwards. And so you're on a list with Frank Howard doing anything? It's good living.
I'm totally there with you. All right, I'm going to give you a name that you've probably never heard of. Her name is Kelsey Fendler. So there are people who do wild, ridiculous things sometimes, and it breaks my brain. She did a 2,400-mile solo journey from California to Hawaii in a boat, rowing from Cali to Hawaii.
Okay.
She is the first American woman to do that, the youngest and the fastest woman, period, to make it. She finished in just under 44 days. So the previous female record holder made it in 86 days. The fastest male to have ever done it per Guinness was 52 days. So she smoked the both of them. I'd be partying like a rock star if I pulled that thing off too. That is amazing.
Yeah, that is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. I'm torn on this next one because on one hand, I'm sick of seeing it. But on the other hand, I can't help but acknowledge it. And it's Joey Chestnut's greatness.
Let's talk about it.
his 18th win at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. I mean, this is insane.
His it is.
18th mustard belt. When I watch it, JP, I want to throw up. So if you missed it over the weekend, Joey Chestnut, he racked up his 18th mustard belt by eating 66 hot dogs and the buns.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged around 8.6 dogs
the buns.
Per minute.
There you go.
Eating 8.6 dogs per minute.
He's
JP.
A sicko.
That's what it takes if you want to be great in the hot dog eating world. But yeah, JP,
did you watch it?
I saw the highlights, and that's all I
need. It's appointment viewing for me.
Okay,
I watch it every fourth. It's sick. And like you see chunks of food flying.
On,
there are people counters down there in like the first row. And that is a danger zone for splatter. Like it is insane.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have seen any of the training videos, but he does like these jaw exercises and then he does neck exercises and then throat exercises.
Okay.
And he says that they all have to work in concert because you only get nauseous when it gets caught in the back of your it is one of the most insane things that kind of break your brain. But yeah, I think it is a spectacle.
Here's what I have a question. Does he venture off into any other contests at all?
I think he
does. And how is he in those realms?
Well, you want to look it up?
I would love to know that because whenever I hear his name, it is hot dogs and hot dogs only. And I have to imagine he's tried to compete at some point in time.
Yeah, I mean,
with other foods.
I feel like a lot of these guys definitely do. All right, so let's look at his records. He's got chicken wings, 182 wings in 30 minutes.
This is Joey.
This is Joey Chestnut. 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. He did that back in 2013. Pork ribs, 13.76 pounds of pork rib meat in 12 minutes. Pulled pork sandwiches, 45 pulled pork sandwiches in 10 minutes.
Okay, timeout.
Yeah.
That one is absurd.
That is insane.
Run those numbers by me again.
45 pulled pork sandwiches in 10 minutes.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if I'm even buying that.
He's got deep fried asparagus spears, 12 pounds, 8.75 ounces in 10 minutes. Corned beef sandwiches, 28 ounce sandwiches that he did in 10 minutes.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, Pizza Hut pizzones, 7.5 pizzones in 10 minutes.
They need to bring those back, by the way.
Brother, his mouth was probably on fire. Have you ever bitten one of those when it's piping hot? That's a hazard.
Do they still have the pizzones? Because when I was in high school, there was the Pizza Hut on Refugee Road.
Sure.
In Pickerington. We used to go there all the time to get pizzones. I don't think they're around anymore.
Well, this
those
was back
used to
in
get it done.
2011.
That makes sense.
The pizzones.
That absolutely makes sense to me.
All right. So I'm going to shout out then Mickey Sudo on the women's side. She ate 38.75 hot dogs for her record 12th victory. Again,
like nobody can beat these people.
They're lapping the field. That's the other part about it. Nobody can beat them. They're out here for the love of the game. They're out here for pride. They're lapping the field. It's not close, and they're out here going as hard as they can.
Just for the vibes.
Yes.
I'm just here for the vibes.
This should be shown to young people across America.
Dedicated.
It's not about what they're doing. It's about what you do.
I can't get over. I'm sorry. 45 pulled pork sandwiches in 10 minutes?
Brother,
imagine. Come on, man.
Imagine. How many pulled pork sandwiches do you think you could eat in 10 minutes?
Three?
I don't think you can get to three.
That's all I'm saying. Three max.
I don't even think you can get to three.
Joey's built different. Joey is built different, man. But his 18th mustard belt. I didn't know it was called a mustard belt.
Bruh, they're competing for the love of the game, man.
Unreal.
Isn't that awesome to see?
It really
How cool is.
Is
that?
I got to respect it.
Yeah.
I got to respect it. There's Party Like a Ross Star for today. Coming up, top of the hour, it's your segment. Get in line. The floor is yours. 614-821-9710 is our hotline number. Best caller will get a Skyline Chili gift card. Get in line. You can talk sports. You can talk life. You can talk anything. JP and I are here for you. We are looking forward to hearing from you next at the top of the hour. Rothman and Ice right here on
.com. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. World Cup round of 16 continues today with Portugal and Spain at 3, then the U.S. and Belgium at 8. Fuller and Balogun will be eligible to play tonight for the U.S. after FIFA reversed his red card from Wednesday's win versus Bosnia. A win tonight for the U.S. would mark its first time to the quarterfinal since 2002. NBA, per reports, former Lakers forward Rui Hachimura is staying in L.A., signing a two-year deal with the Clippers. Baseball, Sal Stewart and Chase Burns will represent the Reds, and Travis Bezzana, Cade Smith, and Parker Messick for the Guardians in the MLB All-Star Game July 14th. Tigers catcher Dylan Dingler also earned a nod. He's the first Buckeye in the Midsummer's Classic since 2010. This update sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
Time for your calls on Rothman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now, 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe,
I've never seen such incompetence,
or some praise,
you're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
Let's go. Let's go. Joshua Perry in the building. It is your segment. Get in line right now. Best caller is going to receive a Skyline Chili gift card. 614-821-9710 is our hotline number. Zeke, who's leading off for us this week?
We're going to head to Westerville and hear from Austin.
Austin, welcome in. The floor is yours. How are we feeling today?
Oh, feeling great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you. What do you got?
Yep. My question is designed more for JP. I was thinking about this when you guys talked about the hot dogs a little bit ago. JP, what can you eat more than your brother Jared? What can he crush more than you if you guys are having a competition?
All right, so I got to put some context around this. My younger brother is about 6'7", 6'8". He's big dude.
Okay.
Tall dude. And he loves wings.
Okay.
So like wing night at Quaker State, for example, he could back when he was banging, as they like to say around here, probably house about 70 wings
in one sitting.
No exaggeration. I mean, this man
is getting to it.
He could get to it. Okay. With the wings. Okay. So probably not going to say wings. Like, he would own me if it came down to some wings. I'm not sure Jared is a big sweet tooth guy, though.
Okay.
And I've got a little bit of a sweet tooth. You get me into some cobbler, eat a whole pan, get me into apple pie, eat the whole thing.
How about a vanilla ice cream eating contest?
Oh, I'd lap them. Lap them. Pound cake, eat the whole pound cake.
Oh, that's tough. That's dense.
Dense.
That is very
dense.
I'll eat
the whole thing, though.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you think you could get him there?
I think
wings, will leave that to him.
If it's wings, if it's like ribs, something to that effect,
that's your brother's. That's your brother's lane right there, Craig. Appreciate you calling in, Austin. Good stuff. Who do we have next, Zeke?
Out in Springfield, we're going to Andy.
Andy, welcome in. The floor is yours. What's going on? Hey, Andy, what's up?
Pound cake? Not much. Thanks for having me. JP, Maddie, this is, you were talking about Pringles earlier. This is something you're going to say. We need to stop. What are we doing? So Saturday, I'm at Walmart, and it's really busy, and there is a huge line, and I'm in the middle of it, and the lady in front of me is trying to get cash back from her EBT card, and the cashier is trying to explain she can't do that, and she keeps trying to change the increments, and everyone's waiting, and just taking forever, and I'm about to leave. And I turn around, and the guy behind me just pulls out a Newport and just starts smoking a cigarette right in the middle of aisle 9. And it was wild.
That's insane, Andy. That's crazy, but this is what the floor shores is all about.
All right.
I love hearing this type of stuff.
So this is probably going to be the odd man out take here.
Okay.
Smoking indoors, I feel like I'm glad that society has evolved away from that. We used to have the smoking and non-smoking sections. The smoke's just wafting all around the restaurant. People used to smoke on airplanes, right? Different time in society. It feels a little bit nostalgic, though, when you see somebody walking down the street ripping a heater. I feel like we don't see it nearly as much in society, and I'm not advocating that we should do it more, It does bring me back to the days of my childhood.
A little nostalgia?
I lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina when I was a kid.
A young lad.
Yeah, okay. At one point in my childhood. Tobacco everywhere. And so it is a little bit nostalgic for me to see somebody walking down the street ripping heaters.
You know what I think about when I hear a story like that is just some people have the audacity that it's just crazy. They don't care.
Pulling
they don't
out a
give
cigarette
a you know what.
Inside of a store is crazy.
Yeah.
It being a Walmart is a little bit less crazy, but still crazy.
Fun call right there from Andy Zeke. Who's next, man? Who do you got?
We've got Chris here up next.
Chris, welcome in. The floor is yours. What's on your mind?
Chris just dipped. We're going to Danny.
Danny, welcome in. The floor is yours. How we doing this week, big dog?
We're living the dream. Joshua, I will say I was also a sock sleeper when I was a teenager, but for other reasons. Anyways, boys, I don't know how we're going to top last week. Country Club Carl is absolutely one of a kind. Shout out to the chat. The chat is always ripping on The Floor Is Yours Mondays. Several people were in there calling Carl a scumbag, which is absolutely true. He is currently on vacation with his main chick at a family and friends 4th of July event. Carl thinks he's Vinny Chase, but he's more like Johnny Drama. He even sounds like him. He's the reverse shallow Hal on himself. Carl sucks at golf, but I will say he loves getting holes in ones on the wrong hole. Some people say Carl's best feature is his extremely long, out of proportion, girthy, veiny forehead. You could land Air Force One on that thing. Speaking of Air Force One, I am not too worried about the game tonight because Donnie will make a call to the FIFA president and overturn the results. Congrats to your 2026 World Cup champions, the United States of America. And before I go, Maddie, I heard you got a little tongue-tied earlier. See, I just did myself. Can you say rivalry week three times fast?
Rivalry week, rivalry week, rivalry week. If you would ask me to do five, that's where it would have got a little dicey.
That's
where it would have got a little dicey. Thank you for the call, Danny. He touched on the situation happening with the World Cup. 2 o'clock, Neil Sika is going to hop on to break all this down for us and get you ready for USA and Belgium. So do not miss that at the top of the hour. But Country Club, Carl's, I know I was getting some texts too about Country Club, Carl. It sounded to me, JP, initially, that the man was in an open relationship. And the more that we asked him about that, that wasn't the case. So I was like, okay, there's people out here that
are
doing
layers
that
to this.
There are layers to that. And I was thinking, okay, like he's got a girlfriend. She's out of town. He comes in here. She knows what he's doing. But that wasn't the case. So that was a bit of a tough look from Country Club Carl. So there was a little pushback from Carl. But Carl was out here just trying to take it to the next level. 614-821-9710 is our number. You want to get in line. Zeke's ready to go. Best caller will absolutely get the Skyline Chili gift card. What do you got?
There's a conversation in the chat right now where people are trying to guess which Walmart location it was with the with the cigarette guy. If you guys had to make a guess as to where that Walmart was located.
Oh man. I don't know. What is the chat saying?
Well, the chat's saying 5-1 that it happened at Morse Road or maybe Whitehall.
So Morse Road is the one at Polaris. Oh, I'm sorry, Easton.
Yeah. I'm saying that it could have been the Delaware one, not too far from where I live. I see some characters in there that look like they have smoked a cigarette or two in there.
Like, what do you even do at that point? Like security, like, sir. I'm sorry. You got to leave.
Can you step outside?
Can you step outside and finish your dart out there?
Can you put it out? Or do you just let it go? Just make sure that there are no children in the vicinity.
Depends on what type of day I'm having.
Right?
If I'm having a day and there's been a whole bunch of you-know-what coming my way.
That's a tough job. I mean, because you're a cashier at Walmart or like a greeter. Like you deal with probably
a lot of
unpleasant
stuff.
Situations.
Yes.
I might let it go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If I'm in a bad mood that day and people have ticked me off, like, go ahead, smoke the cigarette. I don't care. Do your thing.
Pass it over here, as a matter of fact.
614-821-9710 is our number. Zeke, who's next?
We got Cam now.
Cam, welcome in. The floor is yours. What do you got?
JP, Maddie, how you guys doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
Good. Hey, other than a family member, the number one role model that's had the biggest impact in your life and why?
That's a great question. Wow. JP, would you like to go first on this?
It's a really difficult question for me to answer because I've been around folks who've had a lot of impact on me. Outside of family, my dad would be my number one, no doubt. But outside of family, I had a coach in high school. His name was Coach Jackson, mm-hmm. who was my track coach and became my trainer when I was in the league. He was super impactful. My high school football coach, Ed Terwilliger, was another one of those guys. And then both Urban and Luke Fickell, when I was at Ohio State, were right there. Mickey Marotti was on top of me. We talked about some of the stories there. So I've been blessed and fortunate to have a lot of people who have been that right type of role model. It's hard to really narrow it down to one.
No, that's fair. I would absolutely have my pops top of the list as well. Like, just total respect for who he is as a father and a husband and all that. So he would be number one. In the media industry, I'd go Stuart Scott. Just absolutely love watching him growing up. My high school baseball coaches, Coach Thomas and Coach Turnbull, shout out to them. Those guys made a big impact on me. And then I'll have to go some people around here, like honestly, like AR, Common Man. These guys, when I was just now getting into the business and when I started working here as an intern and all this stuff, they really looked out for me. So I've been lucky to be around some people that I've looked up to in this business and got to know them that have turned into role models for me. But Stuart Scott for JP, I couldn't miss anything that he was doing, man, on SportsCenter. Everything for him is part, everything from him is really the reason why I got into this business.
He made it cool to be yourself, too, which I think is really important as you step into this industry.
No doubt. So, TLC, I'm sorry. Zeke, I'm going to let you pick the winner. So, we've had Austin, Andy, Chris, Danny, and Cam. Do you want to pick a winner now, or do you want to send it to break, and do you need a little bit more time, and maybe we get in a couple other calls, too?
We'll wait on it. We'll do
okay,
it on the
we'll
other
wait
side.
On that. So if you want to get in line, Zeke's going to leave the phone lines open. 614-821-9710 is our hotline number. Your chance to win a Skyline Chili gift card. And when we come back at 117, when you look at the next chapter for the Cavs and LeBron James, how close are these parties to coming together again? We'll give you the latest coming out of the weekend. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the...
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus.
A thing that's like, this will make a meal for a family. It's talking like a family of four, and I'm in the family, so I count as like three right off the bat.
Mornings on the Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plan on a scattered shower or storm chance for the rest of the day. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. We see high temperatures in the mid-80s. Any stray showers or storms end early tonight with a partly cloudy sky. Still warm, though. Lows around 70. Mid-80s again on Tuesday. Another humid one. Might be another shower or storm. Again, mainly during the afternoon and evening. For the Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. The best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
And that it is. Welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the building today. Bottom of the hour, Adam King joins us to talk Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce's wedding. He was in the building for that. I'm kidding. Have to imagine JP, he's a little jealous because I'm sure he wanted to be in the building.
Well, isn't he friends with that? Adam Sandler?
Who I guess officiated the wedding?
Was that Ben Stiller? Which one?
Knowing Adam, he's probably friends with both.
Yeah.
Knowing him. But it was, as we can all imagine, a who's who of celebrities that was at this wedding.
Honestly,
at Madison Square Garden.
It feels like if you didn't get an invite and you felt like you were a celebrity, maybe you're not.
That would be humbling.
Like, it felt like everybody was there.
If you felt like you were an A-list celebrity and you didn't get invited to this, because everything that I've seen is, it was all A-listers, JP. Like, it was absolutely incredible. And so the only thing that I didn't like is that they invited the starting five of the New York Knicks. If you're going to invite the New York Knicks, invite the whole damn team. You can't invite just the starting five.
Why not? You got to pay for a plate for everybody.
I got it, though.
I know, but this is a real thing, though. Like, at some point, you got to trim down that guest list. Zeke knows what I'm talking about.
That's right, Zeke. You're getting ready, right?
I got a small guest list.
There you go.
Okay. I don't think we're on that guest list, JP. I don't think we're on that. Might be.
That's okay. Sub 40. We're talking sub 40.
Good, smart man.
You guys are smart, man.
You guys are very, very smart there. Zeke, who was your winner? Who's the winner this week? For the floor is yours. Who are we giving the Skyline gift card away to?
For this week, it was a pretty easy choice for me because I had this run-in happen recently. I'm leaning with Andy on the cigarette talk. Okay. I went to a festival recently, and when you're at like a concert or any festival, you're smelling a lot of different smells. Mm. And there's some that are offensive. There's some that smell kind of good. And then you get that cigarette burn as you're walking along. Me and my fiance are walking, and there's someone walking behind us.
Yeah.
And I'm catching it from them in the updraft. I'm like, we gotta step it up here, babe. We gotta go a little bit quicker here.
Zeke, I've done one festival, and that's all I needed. I'm not built for the festival life. Have you ever done a festival?
That ain't for me.
It's a whole experience, man. Like, you got to be mentally and physically ready to go. Zeke, which one did you go to?
I went up to Michigan to Electric Forest this past week.
One of my best friends was there. He said he had a good time.
Oh, it was a blast. It's like a camping festival, so you're like camping for like 4 days, then going into the festival, and it's a lot.
See, the camping is where you lose me. I'm bougie.
Listen, if you like it, I love it. That's what I'll say.
I'm bougie, though.
I am, too.
The camping? Nah. You can barely get me to do glamping. Let alone camping. I need to go to a hotel.
Housewives of Potomac, where they went out to Colorado. Like, you wouldn't have stayed in that house.
That would be me.
You would have had the Four Seasons.
Correct. Like, I'm
like
gone.
Giselle.
Like, if we're getting to a point to where the water's not working or anything, like, we got to go get a hotel.
Yep.
I'm that guy.
I'm with you.
I can't camp. I can't glamp. I can't do any of that. Shout out to Andy for calling in. Shout out to everybody that called in. Really enjoy hearing from you guys every week.
So back to this Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift wedding. Did you see that the anchors of Good Morning America were in attendance? They were invited.
I did not see that.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is like, if you thought you were somebody and you didn't get the invite, you're not anybody.
You're not anybody. Like, you're really not anybody.
I get it. Like, they can talk about all the things, and this is like a whole rollout and marketing thing. They're very smart with that.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't their friends. Like, those aren't really your friends. Like,
they're not
famous people.
And what's interesting, a lot of the people that attended their wedding probably saw each other at Michael Rubin's all white party either the day before or a couple of days prior.
What are your thoughts on the white party?
I'm jealous. I wish I was there.
I think there's
what do you think's going on here? It's not passing the smell test.
I don't want to get into.
Oh,
you know, there are probably some activities that I would look and be like,
okay, I'm not surprised by that. I did see pictures of, I believe, Ice Spice and Tobey Maguire kissing at this party, which to your point, Zeke, that face, not on my bingo card. Would not have expected that, but paparazzi has shot to them. But I still think when I see the lineup every year, just to be a fly on the wall.
Did you see Teyana Taylor?
I did.
All right, moving it along.
I did. But TLC and AR were kind of dunking on Michael Rubin last week because
they
feel like he's the rich guy that's trying to dunk friends
on everybody. So that makes sense. But AR,
I'm like, look, Michael Rubin, he built up this empire, if you will, made millions and millions and billions of dollars. Like, that's going to get you access to some celebrities. I'm not mad at Michael Rubin. I would do the same thing every year.
So I do have a like fundamental issue with rich dudes who like to buy their friends, and in particular, like, you know, athletes, celebrities, the whole jock sniffing thing, not for me.
Okay.
And so I always look at those guys and I tab them all as weenies. I feel like this is a little bit of a different thing, though, because it's not like you're just doing one-on-ones with these people, taking them out to dinner or whatever, like, you know, a little vacation, whatever. Like, you're having a basically one of the more notable like networking events for all these people to get together and do what they do, blow off a little steam, kick around some ideas. Like, I don't think it's just like I'm using money to hang out with these guys. You're creating a different environment where this probably wouldn't happen otherwise.
Correct. And clearly these people want to be there, because he is the guy that gets all these people with their crazy schedules to be in under one roof on the same day every year.
Yep.
To me, that's cool. I agree. When you got Brady and Lil Wayne, like, and all these people under one roof, that's baller to me.
It is.
That is baller to me.
Some of these people can't show up for things that they're obligated to show up to. But they can show up to this party. That's right.
If I hit the lottery, I'm sorry. Tab me as a weenie. Because I am going to want to be cool with as many celebrities as I possibly can. And I'm not going to care what anybody has to say about it. Because when I'm hosting parties, JP, and those people are walking through the door, It's a good feeling.
Yeah,
it's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. Yeah. May have some good feelings going on when it comes to the Cavs and LeBron right now, because I don't know if you saw over the weekend, LeBron was with some of his St. Vincent, St. Mary's teammates, right? And so we're looking for clues, so whatever we can find.
The union guy now?
That's apparently what's going on. If you are a Cavs fan and you love that 2016 team, which I'm sure a lot of you did and do still to this moment, go watch Club Shay Shay with Tristan Thompson. He talks about the 2016 reunion with the guys and how that came together and how Kevin Love was really the guy that kind of pushed all this stuff together.
That's
getting
awesome.
The helicopters and everything. And so
we can blame K Love for not inviting Mozgov
and Kyrie. Like the Kyrie, he put out a statement, Kyrie did, correct?
Yeah.
But it just adds to everything about that time when it comes to Kyrie that is just always something. And again,
he's one of one.
He is. It would have been great to see him there. But Tristan Thompson, he made it seem like those guys had a heck of a time and that he knew that LeBron was still playing when LeBron was still carrying around his gallon of water and his medicine ball and everything. Like that's all they needed to see. But LeBron was with some of his former teammates from St. Vincent, St. Mary. One of the guys that was in the pick with him was the current assistant GM for the Cavs, and that's Brandon Weems, who is his boy that he grew up with. And so you've got Brandon Weems inside of the front office for the Cavs. You had Rich Paul over the weekend doing a podcast with Max Kellerman. And Rich Paul gets on a whiteboard and maps out all the teams that are in the mix for LeBron. I believe Zeke's got some sound from Rich Paul on some of the things that LeBron and his camp are looking for.
Today I worked on defensive ratings, on-ball defense from individuals, help defense from individuals, looking at how offenses is ran, and it's so much that I probably don't have to do all the things that I do, but I choose to do it because I just think it's important. It's so many different components that you can chop up that we go through from a prep perspective. Now, you may get to a position and you present all this and that person is still like, yeah, but that don't matter. This is my decision. But that doesn't mean you don't prepare.
I thought it was really cool, one, to have Rich Paul doing this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever seen an agent map out for us to visually see the teams that his client are thinking about. I think that's cool. But the more and more, JPA, we talk through this, and whether it's Philly or Miami or Golden State, the Cleveland heartstrings for me, like, it's hard for me to ignore that and not want that as the days keep going along. Just him ending this basketball career where it started. There's something about that that I would thoroughly enjoy. Where are you at right now?
So I'll mention this about Rich Paul and the whiteboard and what we're seeing. I think if you're somebody who appreciates LeBron for his greatness, you think it is really cool insight and you think it is awesome to be able to see kind of the behind the scenes and the way they're thinking about this decision. If you're somebody who thinks that LeBron is a whore for attention, this is the last thing that you ever wanted to see, and it's the worst thing in the world. And
but it's not him.
It's not.
It's his agent.
But it's the whole thing, though. It's never just been that it's just LeBron. It's everything that surrounds LeBron. The LeBron experience, we should call it.
Is it his fault or the media's fault?
Well, it doesn't matter. If you're a LeBron hater, you saw this and immediately you were like, yep, another reason to hate him. I told you about this guy. He sucks. Wasn't even his fault. So we'll just put that off to the side where it is.
The teams on the whiteboard, you had the Cavs, the Heat, the 76ers, Minnesota, Denver, some other teams that were on the list as well. The San Antonio Spurs, Boston Celtics, Dallas Mavericks, and the New York Knicks.
I will say,
yes, because that what was on the board when it came to the Mavericks, it was oil, golf courses, yes, and all of that stuff.
Yes.
Rich Paul did say if the Knicks didn't win the championship, that's where LeBron was headed, which I find very interesting, is that LeBron doesn't want any of that Kevin Durant stuff attached to his name.
And I don't think ring chasing is his number one priority right now. I think he's prioritizing a lot of other things. It's building this empire that he's trying to build. It's quality of life. It's maybe playing with guys that he has always dreamed of playing with, being around his friends as his career dwindles down. But if he does win a ring, I don't think he wants people to be like, oh, you went to the spot that was ready made for you to walk in here and get your fifth one. I think that's why the Spurs are a situation where I would love to see it, but I'm not exactly sure he wants to walk right in there.
I agree.
Because people would be like, oh, ring chasing.
The backlash that Kevin Durant received was crazy. And I thought it was justified because he's too great of a player make the move that he made at the time with that team. It's crazy. So LeBron, if it's Philly or Cleveland, I'm hoping it's one of those two. I think Philly would be entertaining.
I want Cleveland
in that environment.
For all the reasons you mentioned.
But Cleveland will get a competitive basketball team and the emotional part of it, too. I'd be in on that. Coming up in 2 minutes, the man that sits on the Iron Throne over at 10 TV stops by. His name is Adam King. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the...
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The perfect ratio of sports talk, dogs, pro wrestling, and gambling advice.
It's science.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Joshua Perry in the building for AR, and the man that sits on the Iron Throne for 10 TV has just graced us with his presence in studio. His name is Adam King, a.k.a. Happy Monday, sir.
Happy Monday. Have you told the listeners about the group chat that we're all in?
I have not.
Okay.
So please, you know.
You just reminded me because you said the man that sits on the Iron Throne. You a Game of Thrones guy, Joshua?
I'm not.
Okay.
No.
So there's a show on Sunday nights called The House of the Dragon. Great Game of Thrones show. I have no doubt that Matty Ice has not seen the new episode, but I do know that Matty Ice has seen the latest episode of Love Island.
Sure has.
And do you know how I know that? Because I'm in a group chat with six people from 97.1 The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
The group chat, I think it only stops between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. The rest of the time, it is constant messages from one. Cole's not even. It's not Cole.
It's not even Cole.
Hello.
Zeke's in it.
Zeke is in it as well.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is unbelievable, the in-depth conversations. Meanwhile,
Is this a Love Island specific thing, or is this just for anything?
Let me read you the name of the group chat here,
okay,
and tell me if you think this is a Love Island specific thing. 97.1 The Love Island.
Oh, yeah. Good for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's something. This show has consumed my life for a month and change.
I haven't been able to do it.
Well,
it's because, you know what, Joshua? You have a life.
Yes.
No. I would like to be a part of this. My mom and my wife watch that show together. I'm not willing to go through the discomfort of watching with both of them. That's weird.
Well, it's also a strange show to
it
watch.
Is.
Like, especially with your mom.
That's what I'm saying. I won't do it.
Yeah.
It's borderline.
And then my wife is like,
TV.
My wife is like, hey, you want to chat? She's like, let's chat.
Can I pull you for a chat?
Yeah, that's what she says now.
I got a text.
That's what she says now. And I'm like, talk to me like we're regular humans.
Oh,
like, what do you mean?
This show has taken over the world. It's this and the World Cup right now.
Yeah.
It's all I see on my social
100%.
Media. World Cup and Love Island stuff. You will be proud of me.
Okay.
I'm all the way caught up on House of the Dragon, too. So this weekend, I really had nothing else better to do anyway.
I respect
it. So I'm caught up on Love Island. I'm caught up on House of the Dragon. You have on an amazing hoodie right now.
For the
folks on YouTube, they can see that you are out at Scioto this weekend. Shout out to Scioto hosting the U.S. Senior Open.
It was a great
event.
They
did a great job hosting that.
I was very impressed. I think, honestly, a lot of us were interested to see the crowds, to see...
No.
They moved up the tee times on Sunday because of weather. Not because of the heat, but it helped with the heat because people were out there at 8:45 in the morning. I don't know what's the word here? The financial strategy behind this with the USGA... All week long, merchandise 10, 100%. Then leaders make the turn on Sunday. They put up a big sign that says 50% off. And every person on the course said, I'll get back to watching golf. Let me make my way here and pay. I mean, think about it. There were hats in there. Nicole Sheeran paid full price for a $40 hat. Guy walking away with it for $20 now.
See, but that's the whole point is like there are some people who can only go on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
They have to buy it full price, but they're not taking it home.
It's true.
So they got to slash them so folks like you can look pretty on Monday.
I also bought a sweatshirt in 95 degree heat, but that's because everything in my life is cold. My car, when I get in my car, it's icicles. That's what I like. I want to drive around and feel like it's 1,000 degrees outside and 60 degrees in the car.
Was that a way of you saying that I have a car starter without saying it right there? That you get in your car and it's Wait a minute. Cold as ice.
Are we celebrating cars that start in 2020?
I think we should. I think we should.
Joshua, does your car start automatically?
So we know it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Really? So I was a part of
that's
this.
An upset.
I got one better than Joshua Perry right
so
there.
It does this thing called pre-ventilation. So it'll kick on the AC, but it doesn't start the engine. So it never actually gets as cold as I want it to get before I get in. It was a part of this era where they used to make you subscribe to certain features on the car.
Yeah.
That's what year the car is from.
Okay. I finally, this is my first car that I've ever driven that has a car starter and a heated steering wheel. And I just feel like you can't tell me anything.
You can't go back once you get the heated.
You can't tell me anything.
And then do you have the ventilated, the AC in the seats?
Yeah. No. I don't have that.
I know what you're talking about. Those are nice. Wait. I don't have that in mind.
Once you get that, I promise you're never going back.
Here's my problem with that. It like blows cold air on your butt.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It feels a little weird. It's like almost like your butt's wet and you're like, why is my...
But you never go into anything feeling like you're swampy.
That's true. It's a good point.
Okay. Right? Like you're always fresh. You're always ready to go.
Okay. I don't have that, but maybe I need to get that. Adam King from 10TV joining us here live in studio. You were in the building at Madison Square Garden this weekend for the Swift and Kelsey wedding. How did that go, sir?
If you think I'm going to break the NDA that I signed just for your show... I mean, I would love to tell you about it. It was glorious. Taylor said three times, Adam, stand up. We'd like to celebrate you. And said, no, this is about you guys. But what a weekend we had. And that's all I can say.
Somebody screwed, because I did see pictures coming out of that thing. Somebody snuck a camera in there and was sniping some pics. Somebody screwed.
The whole thing is stupid. Okay. When did it become some celebrity event? It's a wedding, and it felt like the most random invite list I've ever seen in my life. It felt like you're like, oh, well, Jason Sudeikis got an invite. Oh, that girl from Stranger Things is there. It felt like they took a dartboard, spun it on Netflix, is like, what to watch next?
You don't know who their friends are. Like, just because it feels random, these might be people they really enjoy being with.
Travis and I are very close. I know who his friends are. Okay. Taylor and we sat down and went through the list together.
All right.
I don't think it was the real wedding this week. I think they had the real wedding earlier with the close family.
But if you could do a brand building exercise and center that, anchor that with a wedding, you wouldn't do it
at Madison Square Garden?
That place is one of the best venues if you're them, because you have as much space as you need, and they have security protocols out the wazoo because they're so used to famous people being there.
I thought that was smart how they did it, where you literally never saw anybody going in and out. You could take everybody in underground there. It was well executed. By the midway point of Friday, I was half expecting to see a picture of Joshua Perry in a tux and like, he and Travis must have crossed paths at some point.
Would Adam King rather have been in the building for that wedding or Michael Rubin's all-white party just a few days before?
The all-white party, it's not for me.
Ooh.
It's
you don't like that.
Why? I don't know the story behind it.
I feel like you would be thriving at that party.
I really might, but I need the... Where did it come from?
That's a fair question. I want to say this is post-pandemic.
It probably just evolved. It was probably just like a gathering that evolved.
I mean, I saw the CEO of Raising Cane's was there, so I mean, I'll go. I'll vibe with the CEO of Raising Cane's.
Get you some gift certificates?
Yeah, give me some gift certificates. The thing is, Taylor and Travis's wedding is cool and all, but at the end of the day, it's a wedding.
Right. At least at the Michael Rubin party, you can bounce around and have different conversations with.
Yeah. What if the music was bad at the wedding?
It can't be, right?
What if it was?
It can. So, apparently, there were live performances. What if it just...
She has to perform at her own wedding?
Yeah, that's not great, Bob. That's not what I'm looking for. Imagine for your wedding day, they were like, hey, we need you to host a radio show.
I did see that Chiefs offensive lineman Trey Smith, his sister, caught the bouquet from Taylor Swift. And the first thing I thought about was, I'm selling that.
Oh, for sure.
You have to sell that.
They probably said, go ahead and hand that back. This was just for show.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I would love to know the price and the value of Taylor Swift's bouquet. We're talking probably $100,000 somebody would pay.
Easy.
Yeah.
The Swifties? I think that's the floor.
That
they ain't gonna be here very long.
Like, that's your train of thinking right now is where the way I always think, where it's like, why are people buying these things that aren't going to do anything and going to die off? But I think 100K AK is the floor for a Swiftie to purchase that, knowing it came out of her hand
and her bouquet. There's only one of those in the entire world. There will only ever be one of those.
I think you can get a million for it.
Are you sure?
Well, that's true. Valid point. If it doesn't work out.
They seem like they're going to make it. I don't know. I think they're going to make
it. If she ever hits a rut in her music career, the divorce album.
Wow.
The divorce album?
You think he would pull ripcord?
No, I'm saying she would do it and make the music.
That's genius.
The divorce album?
That's true. That's a good point.
I saw somebody theorize that she would do it, and then she would release the album on the 4th of July because they got married on the 3rd. The Freedom album.
Interesting.
Wow.
That would do numbers.
I mean...
And if she leaves him, he'll be okay. He's got a $100 million podcast deal with his brother can fall back on.
I think they signed a prenup that he only gets like 25% of the stuff. So, like, you know, I can't confirm that. I'm not. But
can you stick around for another segment?
Of course. Are we going to yell about the FIFA debate?
We haven't yelled about it yet. We were going to talk to Neil Seek at the top of the hour to let a real soccer expert.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But Adam King, another soccer expert, we'll yell about that next. Rothman and Ice right here on the
.com.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
What's up, knuckleheads? You're listening to Rothman and Ice on The Fan. It's not terrible.
Welcome back in. Adam King in the house with Joshua Perry today. Hope you guys had a great weekend. AK, before you hop on your throne and yell about the World Cup stuff, Ohio State training camp, not too far off from where we are right now. Media days coming up here.
And this month?
This month. Yeah, we're about to start rocking and rolling with that. NFL training camp's getting going into this month, too. So football season lurking.
It's funny because the hardest part about the offseason is the next 2 weeks. I've always thought it. The next 2 weeks... It's like you can see it, but you just can't get there. And it's like when you're on a road trip and you're like, Dad, how much longer? 25 minutes. You're like, I've been in the car 12 hours. This 25 minutes feels like 12 hours in its own right. Once we hit media day, though.
Gone.
Boom. Let's go.
You know what can help fast track this time for you?
What?
And I know this is going to hit home. And I'm curious whether you're in on this too, JP. Is watching Big Brother.
Oh, I love Big Brother.
My thing on this show is, JP, when you see Big Brother pop up on our TVs.
You watch it?
No, my mom.
Yeah, okay.
Well. Football season is around the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Big Brother starts this week.
It does.
I believe it's the 8th.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Don't they have like a million episodes a week? Like, isn't it
just
one of
like
those?
Love Island.
Yeah. But it's really only 3 episodes a week, but you can live watch these people.
See, that is sick.
No, see, here's my problem with that, though. Is people get, like, you're all on different timelines. Like, some people are
saying... Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like,
true.
Yeah. The episode doesn't come out till Thursday, but John's been watching on the live feeds since Monday, and he knows everything for the week. I'm like, well, calm down.
It's a little much. I don't need the live feeds, but that helps me, personally, erase some of the window of time that you're talking about.
Exactly
is when Big
right.
Brother gets rocking and rolling, and then before you know it, we are in football. I love asking people this question that cover the team and that are around practices, a.k.a. the first practice comes up right here in the next few weeks. You walk through the doors, you walk out onto that field. You get to go anywhere you want to watch the first round of drills for the 2026 opening practice. Where's Adam King going? That isn't the quarterbacks.
Adam King is going to stand in the end zone of the middle field with his hands on his hips, smiling ear to ear, realizing that nothing for the next 2 days matters at all. Joshua Perry, am I wrong? Until they put pads on, none of this matters. The first 3 days of training camp are welcome back. Let's get our legs under us. Let's maybe get some work in here. Hey, Jeremiah caught a pass. All right.
Yep. That was my initial thought is when we get the pads on.
Yeah, then.
This becomes a little bit of a different question.
Let me change my question. When the pads are on.
Okay.
And Adam King's rolling out there with his camera and his tripod and his hand on his hip. What unit are you going to watch first?
I want to see the rotation on the defensive line. Okay. I am very confident in the defensive line. I'll say this. I'm watching all defensive units because I want to see the linebacker rotation, how that's played out through summer workouts. The defensive line, I know it's not going to be a constant four. It's going to be probably a rotated six, maybe seven. I want to see where we stand with those guys and what this is going to look like. I am very high on Quay Rousseau, and so I want to see his impact, how quickly they're letting him get those reps on the line.
I like it. Linebackers, pads popping. Yep, that's all I care about. I want to watch them. The other thing I will be curious to see, though, through training camp is Cortez Hankton as the wide receivers coach. He's a new face that has been like the crown jewel position for Ohio State football. How are those guys taking to him? I know they went through spring, but what is it like in camp? Camp is where you really figure out how much you actually want to listen to your coach because he's around you so damn much.
Yeah.
And so I want to see what that group looks like and how they all really figure each other out through training camp in the season.
I like that you brought up Coach Hankton because it was good to see some of the momentum he's creating on the recruiting trail. To your point about Ohio State and the wide receiver position, we know for years and years that position has been stamped. You go to Ohio State, you got a chance to be a dude to go on to the NFL. To see him now creating a little bit of that early on, I think is a good sign for Buckeye fans to see that this guy is going out into some living rooms or however it works now and making an impact on the trails. Good stuff. Yeah,
going out into some private family offices.
Exactly. Right.
Some banking institutions.
Yeah, that's right. Stopping out at the U.S. Bank or Huntington.
That's right. Going over to Merrill Lynch to get recruits.
You know what? Yeah. Sidebar about that I don't think got enough credit.
What's up?
Is the Harrison family could have done this recruiting thing so different. Marvin wasn't as high of a recruit. I don't know if people remember that. Yep. Marvin wasn't even a top 100 player. He rose up as he got closer, but when he came to Ohio State, he was not a five-star.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously made a name for himself, obviously became one of the best receivers in the program's history. So now you have his brother, who is the number one player in his class, who could have milked this thing for a year and a half, taken every visit in the world, could have been on social media kind of teasing people, could have done an announcement video where he grabbed eight hats and threw it. No, none of it. The Harrison family coming out of a Hall of Fame receiver and turning it into a career where they just keep their heads down and want to work is one of the most amazing things in football.
I just feel like that is, for that family in particular, that's the way it should be. Like, what are you looking for attention for? Like, some of these guys have never experienced anything like the recruiting process, and they don't know if they're going to have a good enough career that they'll forget about it.
Yeah.
So they're all in on doing every part of that experience. Like, it's like, damn, my daddy was a great player. My brother is a great player. Like, I don't need any of the extra. I just want to play ball.
Yeah. What's the dollar figure looking like? Okay. That's good. Now I can just focus on everything that you guys are talking about. And these guys, the Harrisons, just, they're not distractions. They're just ball players,
just
man.
Working.
They just come in, they put in work, and they do their thing. We got a minute left for you.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to yell about the
grow
the
up
Cup
about the red card.
There we go.
All right? If you're out there and you're like, well, this isn't how it's supposed to go. There are rules. They can do whatever they want. It's the FIFA World Cup. If they want to decide tonight that the United States has to play on one leg, they'll do it. They are in charge of this entire thing. And until you realize that it was a stupid call, FIFA knew it was a stupid call. Mm-hmm. The backlash was everything that they didn't want with the World Cup. They don't want their refs spotlighted. They don't want people to say this is rigged. They went out there, fixed a problem. You might not like it. Grow up, Peter Pan.
They don't want people to say it's rigged. So they basically like avoid any level of protocol that existed for the tournament and said, yeah, President Trump called us, so we're just going to listen to him.
Listen.
Like, for us, I feel like it looks very differently than it looks to the rest of the world that's involved in this thing.
You know, if they had done it for Ronaldo, for Messi, nobody would be freaking out. They would say,
would you have been pissed if they did that for those guys?
No, because they do it all the time.
I think you would have been mad.
I
think you would have felt some way.
Also, here's the ultimate thing. The rule in its own right, I understand. And somebody says, you don't get soccer. I played soccer for 11 years, okay?
But you don't get it, though.
I don't get it. I understand that it's no different than targeting in football and missing the next half.
Sure.
It's stupid,
yes,
okay?
That rule drives me nuts. Especially
in an event like the World Cup, where you literally only get a finite amount of games, to remove someone from the next game could decide the entire World Cup. over a controversial call.
Okay.
Move on. Okay. Let's play some soccer. Let's win. And we'll all, you know, chant USA tonight as they get ready for Spain.
I think players should go out and intentionally try to get red cards just to see what happens from here forward. Now that we've had this one thing happen.
England had a red card last night. I was thinking, this is going to get very interesting.
You're not wrong. That would be my approach moving forward because of what just happened.
Interesting angle you bring up there. It's going to be an incredible environment in Seattle, right? Seattle fans are absolutely awesome. You combine that with the US of A. That's going to be great stuff. So, AK, what's coming up next for you, my man? Where can the folks follow your work the rest of the day?
Well, you can follow me on 10TV, but coming up next here on this show, we have a soccer mind in his own right. That is Neil
Sika.
There you go. I want to make sure I didn't mess up his last name. Neil Sika coming up on the... Neil knows, all right? You know. Neil Sika coming up on the show here. This is Rothman and Ice on The Fan.
Dave. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Fuller and Balogun will be available tonight for the U.S. men's national team, which faces Belgium at 8 in the World Cup round of 16. After FIFA suspended his red card for the round of 32 Sunday, the Belgian Federation's appeal to challenge his eligibility has been denied by FIFA this afternoon. Balogun has scored a team-high 3 goals for the U.S. College hoops, the Department of Justice announced former Cincinnati Bearcat Kirk Creasa has been arrested and indicted on a $2.2 million fraud scheme. He spent his last season at UC after time at Arizona, West Virginia, and Kentucky. Baseball, Sal Stewart and Chase Burns will represent the Reds, and Travis Bezzana, Cade Smith, and Parker Messick for the Guardians in the MLB All-Star Game July 14th. This update is sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
USA, USA, USA. Round of 16 is tonight, folks. Joshua Perry in with me, going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and get you ready for the U.S. of A. taking on Belgium, the one and only. He's a legend around here. His name is Neil Sika. You know him, crew fans very well. Did an awesome job on radio and TV. Did an awesome job on Apple TV with MLS. Neil, welcome in, my man. How we feeling?
Natty, JP. Happy summer. Great to talk to you
guys.
Yes,
yes. It's always good to hear from you. We appreciate your time. All right. So for the non-soccer fan that's hopping on this train right now, Neil, that wants to feel the vibes and just feel the energy and be a part of this, can you break down the importance of us getting to the round of 16 and how big of a deal this is right now?
Well, right now, the fact of the matter remains that they've only one other knockout victory in the history of the program out in the modern era of the World Cup, and that was 2002 prior to the Bosnia victory. So to get to this point right now, and I think if you were to talk to a lot of people out there who cover the national team and what the ceiling could be for a successful World Cup, getting to the quarterfinals, getting to the next round would be on the top of their list. And I think it's very possible. Obviously, it's been clouded with what's going on in the last 24 hours with Flo Balogun, and that's a whole other topic to discuss. But for this team and the way they've played so far through the first four games, they've set themselves up, with or without him, to be in a position to do that. And that's a high water mark for the United States. And I think even the semifinals could be in their dreams.
Can you set the scene a little bit with this Flo Balogun situation? Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, what's happened, the timeline of everything and where we're at right now? Because at least we're getting ready to start the show. You know, Belgium's putting in, I think their appeal, it felt like it was a little bit muddy.
I mean, where do you even want to begin right now? I think it's like a newborn taking the crayon to the wall and drawing all over it, because that's the type of mess we've got right now. And it's, you've heard the term unprecedented, and why are we mixing politics with sports? Regardless of where you fall on the fact that there was the red card situation in the Bosnia-Herzegovina game, FIFA has put themselves in this position based on the fact that they don't have a direct appeal for a red card. The referee's law, the referee's word is supposed to be the final law. And I think that's allowed all this other can of worms to open up. They don't do that specifically because they want to keep the games moving. You've got a month and a half essentially to play this tournament because you'd have appeals day in and day out during games. So the fact that you can't go back looking at the red card, where I am of the fabric and ilk that he was in a clumsy situation, you're speeding up the video review and so on and so forth, and a lot of people feel that it's a just cause, but we've gotten no discernible breakdown from the disciplinary committee, and they're not going to do that. And then you have the president getting involved, which has just gone outside of the whole matter of what sports politics shouldn't cross in a situation like this. So it's going to carry on. Belgium's appeal denied, and that case opening to further measurements from them if he's listed on the team sheet tonight, which he's going to be. But if the United States, you're over the moon that you've got arguably your best player that is playing tonight and in a position to do so, having the fact of the matter that it's occurred over 48 hours. What if it was 72 or even going back to Thursday where you didn't have, where you had a more direct line of knowing that this was going to be the situation? Would it have changed the perspective a little bit? I don't know. But at the same time, the United States, at least in that locker room, isn't going to apologize for knowing that they have him back, and they're going to go out and use their best group to try and beat a Belgian team that beat them in the lead up to this World Cup game tonight.
Neil Sika joining us here on The Fan, talking all things World Cup, locking in on United States and Belgium tonight at 8 o'clock out there in Seattle. So Neil, break down this matchup for us tonight when you got Belgium on the other side of things. And now here we are having just a heck of a time watching this. It's been awesome, Neil. But for the folks that don't know much about Belgium and what they're going to bring to the pitch tonight, break that down for us, please.
It wasn't long removed from the fact that this was a country that many thought could contend for a World Cup title. 2018 finished third, got to the semifinals, didn't get out of the group in 2022. They've had all these great stars that have played in the Premier League, and four of them from the team that beat the United States going back to 2014 are still on this roster. Kevin De Bruyne is the headline name, but at 34 years old. You've got Lukaku at 33. Those two guys really carried the mantle for Belgian football for a lot of years. Courtois is an excellent goalkeeper. But they haven't, Matty, I would say, lived up to what maybe Belgian fans thought they could be so far in this competition. They should have been knocked out by Senegal, who had them on the ropes and couldn't get it done in the previous round. And I think the United States learned a hard lesson with some squad rotation and a different formation when they played in a little bit of the buildup prior to the actual World Cup game tonight. But I think they're a team that wants to have the ball. They can be a little slippery back defensively. And I think if the United States, and this is where the Balogun inclusion is so fascinating, because he's this forward who's got so many things in his arsenal, his movement, his scoring, his hold-up play, his ability to press, and that frees it up for other guys. And I think that's where the United States has thrived so far in the competition. These overloads that they've brought when they've transitioned from their defending in their own half to then going forward into the attack. The United States has had a lot of the ball so far in their first four games. Belgium is a team that is around 60% possession. So if they don't have the ball, I think they're going to be uncomfortable. I think the United States follows a little bit of a blueprint when they do get on the ball, like Senegal, where they create 3v2s or 2v1s on the outside to free up their attackers, because I think it's more of a passive defense from Belgium. They've rotated their back line in three of their four games, used different personnel, and I think that's where they can be vulnerable and the United States can take advantage of them.
All right, Neil, I'm not a big soccer guy, and so a lot of my consumption of the World Cup has happened on social media. And
that's
I saw
okay. You're a big guy. You're an expert on everything else.
You do not need to say that.
That's facts, Neil.
I saw a tweet that said soccer refs calling offsides are just player hating, and I feel like people have a point there. So give me the quick explainer on offsides, so if I turn this game on tonight, I know what I'm looking at.
Well, you've got the digital technology or the technology to help you out, I guess, in that case. But simply stated, if a player is behind the second-to-last defender in the attacking half when the ball is played by his teammates, and that's any part of you that can score a goal, so not necessarily a hand, but it can be the tip of your toenail or your head or your shoulder, then it's going to be flagged for offside. And what we've seen so far in this competition, and now what's been told, even in MLS, flags stay down usually because if you have a play leading to the potential goal, you want to see that play through. But oftentimes it can be brought back because you've got this video assistant referee, which has been the big point of controversy, not only in other spectrums of global football, but at this World Cup specifically, because I think the United States and MLS in particular, which doesn't have the offside line in their games, that's an interpretation for the rule. But I think the United States has done a great job in terms of Major League Soccer implementing VAR. Now you've gone to the global stage and you've got different eyes and different federations and how they viewed the game. But this is pretty clear cut and dry when it comes to the World Cup and the offside rule, because you have that line. A lot of times we're going to see something that's called back because of the technology that's in play, and we're splitting hairs a lot of the times, but that's how they perceive it.
Hey, Neil, we'll get you out of here on this one. It was interesting, right, to see Neymar, how emotional he was after Brazil's game yesterday. And then you had Ronaldo and Messi, and just these three guys that for years and years and years, as you know, have just been names on the marquee, high-end players, some of the best in the world. And just to see where these guys are now, Neil, paint the picture of those three iconic names in the world of soccer and what this is going to look like with these guys and without these guys in the next few years.
Yeah, Ronaldo saying it's going to be his last World Cup. We're about to watch Spain and Portugal isn't coming up, and that could potentially be his last game. That's going to be a fascinating watch. I'll throw Luka Modric, one of the great midfielders of his generation, playing for Croatia, and what's next for him. I think Messi's brain and his intelligence would allow him to maybe even flirt with the notion, believe it or not, in 4 years' time from now, because of the way he takes care of himself and the way he's adjusted his game, where he's not making these 50-yard runs game in and game out. It's allowed him to thrive and arguably have his best World Cup ever. Neymar, some in the Brazilian camp would say his inclusion was a mistake, and the way they were playing all throughout this tournament was very defensive over with Carlo Ancelotti at the helm and going out yesterday to Norway. But we've seen the headline names in this sport for a long time, and it's carried. And that's what's made this World Cup so great. I think the star players have shown out and they perform, whether they've been the ageless wonders or the young and thriving rising players like Lamine Yamal, who's going to play for Spain here in the next couple of minutes and has already had a great tournament. They're so influential, I think, to the future of the game. And that's where the result, especially in the U.S.'s case, for how well they've played and how much this could mean tonight to win with all that's gone on in the last 24 hours is really disappointing to see. And we'll see how it plays out. That's the thing. You can make all these excuses before the game plays out. But Belgium, this is a coin flip game for me tonight still, because if Belgium controls the game like they want to with the ball, there's no reason to think they can't have the breakout that their team has been looking for. But I think it's been wonderful to watch all the headline names that have been able to make this a spectacle worth watching for the major soccer fan or the casual soccer fan who's turning in only to watch the World Cup every 4 years.
No doubt. Neil, we appreciate you. We love your work, and we're going to follow you wherever you go, and can't wait to watch the game. Thanks for the breakdown. Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, fellas. Be well.
Appreciate it. There's Neil Sika there. Did an awesome job for years covering the crew, voice of the crew, radio and TV, doing good work over on Apple TV as well, covering MLS soccer. So, yeah, it should be a banger out there in Seattle tonight as we take on Belgium. Coming up next in pre-snap reads, Brandon Ayuk, he's making the situation strange for the 49ers, but now he's making it strange for Jaden Daniels. We'll tell you why next in pre-snap reads with Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berg.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plan on a scattered shower or storm chance for the rest of the day. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies. We see high temperatures in the mid-80s. Any stray showers or storms end early tonight with a partly cloudy sky. Still warm, though. Lows around 70. Mid-80s again on Tuesday. Another humid one. Might be another shower or storm, again, mainly during the afternoon and evening. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, welcome back in. Joshua Perry in the house today. You know, JP, usually we get one NFL storyline. That's usually the headliner of the summer, right?
Yep.
A couple years ago, was what is Aaron Rodgers going to do? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. The situation this offseason, unfortunately, is what the hell Brandon Ayuk is up to on his social media platforms. Over the last couple of days, you know what I've been doing? I've just been ignoring it for the most part because it's just him and the Niners going, not even the Niners. It's just him.
Him.
It's just talking him. To himself.
Yes.
But over the weekend is where it got odd for me. And then I was like, okay, we probably should talk about this because he's not only playing the game he was playing before via his social media, but now also apparently he's calling out Jayden Daniels.
Well,
let's hear this audio that Zeke has cooked up for us from Brandon Ayuk over the weekend, and then we'll unpack it from there.
Fire gonna text me talking about something. You on my team now. You follow my rules. Boy, I'm a grown-ass man, boy. You gonna have to stop running behind your mama, and I might believe what you talking about. But until then,
Okay, so off the top, if you don't know what he is referring to, apparently in a video going around on social media, there was a fan that went up to Jayden Daniels and said, blank Brandon Ayuk. And all Jayden Daniels did in the video was kind of laugh and push it to the side. So what you just heard is apparently Ayuk being frustrated with Jayden Daniels for not coming to his defense a little bit more. And then in there is the shot at calling him a mama's boy.
Yep.
And so for people that don't know, Jayden Daniels' mom has been heavily involved with a lot of his doings, right? Whether it's women, his finances, whatever. His mom is involved. Did you take that as a guys that are really good friends needling each other?
No.
Or you took that as something different?
Moms are off limits regardless.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're trying to be funny with your friends. Like, that is not a place that you go. And listen, part of this is, he said the quiet part out loud, right? Like, his mom is very recognizable. She's in the place.
Yeah.
More power to him for all that. But doing this, to me, it's another step in this self-destructive path that Ayuk is on. Mm-hmm. And it's actually amazing to me because typically you watch guys who will do like one thing that's very destructive and it throws them off of the path, and then they try to work to get back in good graces, but it's a little bit of a process. Usually one thing, though.
Yeah.
He is like every opportunity to do something dumb, he's like, yep, that's for me.
I can understand. Well, let me take that back. I don't understand burning any bridges. But in his situation, he is trying to do everything he can to get out of the 49ers building.
Mm-hmm.
He thought, and probably still thinks, which is crazy, that he still can go to Washington. But why would you do this to the star player of the team, regardless of how close they are? Because I agree with you.
You mean the guy who's supposed to be getting you the pill?
That's it.
Yeah.
And the guy that's probably in that building going to bat for you the most.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Well,
but you're right. Parents, kids, that stuff's just off limits.
Yeah, I would leave it alone.
That's crazy that he's doing that stuff. It's so far in our rearview mirror how good of a player Brandon Ayuk was.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about that now.
You got to be coming off a 1,300-yard, 14-touchdown type of season to be getting away with this nonsense. You're not good enough anymore to be doing this. And so that was crazy town to me because I did actually think that just football and football only, that it would make sense for Brandon Ayuk to end up with Washington. You pair him with Terry McLaurin, I think they'd be on to something with Jayden Daniels coming back. But now, it's like, why would you even want to do this? And if you're Brandon Ayuk, it seems like you're burning another bridge. And so then the question has to be asked, what team in the league is going to want to sign up for this nonsense? And I don't think it's anybody.
Well, I mean, you'd have to be completely unserious to want to sign up for it. And by the way, this whole thing with Ayuk has been very unserious, from the won't go in to do the rehab, which to me, it literally feels like you're just checking a box. Like, just show up. You can even bring your own doctor, but they want to see you in the facility. They want their doctors to get eyes on you. Wouldn't do that. And then you have this thing with the agent where he wanted to fire the agent that didn't do the paperwork and like has not figured out the paperwork. Mm-hmm. That's dumb.
Yeah.
And then you get to this, which all self-inflicted, stupid moves that didn't need to happen.
It's just another example of certain guys not having the right people in their camp.
Maybe he does. Like, maybe he's got people trying to tell him not to be an idiot,
and he's just
taking
it?
Idiot pills.
Okay. Then he's just a straight
idiot
up
idiot sandwiches.
Then he's just an idiot then, Gordon
Ramsay. He might be.
Then he would just be that.
Yes.
Because I can't understand this at all. Like, this guy right now, he's 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So you in the next couple of years are going to be viewed as a guy that's on the back nine of your career as a player. And you're coming off of an injury that you don't really know what you're going to get as far as a guy that has to be explosive with his lower extremities and all that.
We have the right way.
Correct. All of that. And so I'm not going to be shocked now if Brandon Ayuk's not on any team this upcoming season, because I don't know why I would sign up for this if I was an owner.
I wouldn't.
I don't blame
you. How many players do you think there are right now that could do all of this and people would still be like, yeah, I'm going to sign him?
The top five quarterbacks in the sport.
Agreed. I would stretch that out probably to maybe a top eight quarterbacks in the sport.
So we'll go top eight quarterbacks in the sport. I'll go Myles Garrett.
Yep.
I agree. We'll go Justin and Jamar.
100%. Those two
CD.
Guys. Yep.
I think Jerry Jones would put up with this.
I think so. Where are you at with like a Saquon? Or is he too long in the tooth?
That's where it gets dicey for him.
Right.
Is that they would look at his age and be like, why are we signing up for this?
Yep.
Maybe Bijan Robinson?
Yeah.
But to your point,
it's a handful. You could list them all out. You could name every single player you would put up with this for, and Ayuk's name's not on the list.
And I got to be honest, I think we could cut it off after the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I don't know. Justin Jefferson, he could get away with a lot. If it came down to it for me.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you would be willing for Justin Jefferson.
Him, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of like,
as long as it's not JJ throwing him the ball.
I think those days are gone.
100%.
I think those days are gone. I think this will be Kyler Murray's show. And I won't be surprised if Kyler Murray signs another contract with Minnesota after this year.
I mean, who knows?
He's young enough in age to where they're going to look around and think, What better options do we have?
Because I think it comes down to me for if you're cool with having a little quarterback,
which is tough,
because it feels like he's locking in right now.
It does. I just think if you're Minnesota, I think they're going to be too good to be picking high enough to grab what's supposed to be one of the elite quarterbacks coming out.
Well, they say it's a deep class, though.
We heard that last year.
Yeah, right? I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you, because I was a part of that noise last year, right? Which is, oh, we got Lenore Sellers and Cade Klubnik and all
these guys.
And Drew Allen. Like, do we have two first-round guys?
We got Dante. No, he's going back. Okay.
And then we got past that, and it was like, this Ty Simpson guy we were trying to... And that, look, those people turned out to be right. He got drafted 13th overall, but...
I like Ty. His frame bothers me. He's injury-prone, but I like him as a player, though.
I like the system he's going into.
I agree.
I like the system. I guess, is McVay going to be there? honestly, if I were Ty Simpson, that's what I would be thinking out. About.
He's a coach. Little TV booth sounds pretty good.
Correct.
Yeah.
Coach that was already flirting with retirement, has already won a Super Bowl, has a team good enough to win a Super Bowl. And
you
to your
know
point,
the problem?
Yeah.
He's too handsome. I feel like handsome coaches have options, right? Like, ugly coaches, you got to do it for a full career. When you're a handsome dude, you can be a pitch man. You can do TV.
Yeah.
You can do other stuff.
Yeah, you can make it endorsement deals.
Yeah.
You can do all that. But you're right. If Sean McVay announced his retirement today, Fox, ESPN, NFL Network, they're lining up
Everybody's
to get him on their desk. In the same way, a lot of these networks are lining up to get Jameis Winston to do anything.
Which is crazy.
Because Jameis Winston's doing World Cup coverage.
Bro. He's doing anything.
Tell you, man.
Good for him, honestly.
Great for him. I'm telling you. No joke. We went down to the Radio Row a couple years ago in New Orleans. He was mobbed the way that Tom Brady would be mobbed if he was at Radio Row. I'm not joking when I tell you. Some of the biggest crowds that I saw following an athlete or celebrity, Jameis Winston's crowds were just as big as anybody's.
You want to know why? Because he's not media trained in the sense that he gives you the canned answer.
Correct.
He says the thing.
He moves the needle, man.
We like that. We love when athletes just say it.
And he says, think about the speech we got before the Steelers game, where he's looking off in the distance talking about the snow. Like, come on, man. Like, you can't make that up.
Thankful to God that it snowed.
Then he, after a game, he took to the podium and said, I prayed to God to free me from pick sixes.
Come on, man.
The dude's an absolute legend. He is. Jameis Winston. Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going back to the NBA. Nathan Grubel, who covers the NBA for the No Ceilings podcast, covers the draft, the association, and more. We'll get his take on what's next for LeBron. Bruce Thornton ended up in the NBA with the Houston Rockets. So much to unpack around the association. We'll talk to him next about the Cavs and more right after the break. Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Your day started with T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here on The Fan. You'd think that a radio lifer and a national title winner wouldn't have much in common, but you'd be wrong. They're both girthy. They both love football, and they both get racially profiled for completely different reasons. It's like driving to work with your friends, except these friends give away tickets to things and talk to all the important people in town. Your actual friends are probably a bunch of losers. Well, anyway, listen to T-Bone and Tybus live on the Fan app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How many of you
builders? Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Matty promises he'll continue to do the show even if he wins the lottery. If only we believed him. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Gonna light up right now the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Bring on Nathan Grubel, who does an awesome job covering the NBA, NBA draft over at No Ceilings NBA. Make sure you check him out on Twitter at Draft Deeper. Nathan, welcome in. How we feeling?
I'm doing great. We're in the thick of free agency. I know a lot of moves have happened, but today is the moratorium lifted so that we can have all of the official trade announcements. We have press conferences going on. And of course, there's one very big fish still out in the waters, which I know you guys want to talk about.
That is a 41-year-old fish that you're talking about. And it's crazy, right, that we are here talking about another summer of LeBron at this point in his career. But he's playing at a high enough level where the dudes honestly weren't talking about this much. Let's start with LeBron in Cleveland and that possible reunion. When you look at where the Cavs roster currently is, where they've been over the last couple seasons, and a possible addition of the King, what do you think about that potential marriage? What do you think it could do for Cleveland if he does return?
I mean, from a narrative perspective, it's obviously the storyline that I think a lot of people ultimately want to happen, even if they're sold on him possibly, you know, joining Golden State or maybe going to another contender out in the Western Conference. I think him coming home to Cleveland is what would be the best end to that chapter for LeBron James's career. Just from a narrative perspective on the court, I think a lot of people have questions about how it would fit in the sense of they already have two ball dominant guards in Donovan Mitchell and who they will be bringing back in some form or fashion in James Harden. How does LeBron James's play style coalesce with both of them? I think we have heard, though, that LeBron wants to play with other players who can take that scoring burden off of his plate so that he doesn't have to be that guy consistently night in and night out. He can be more of that point forward on the wing. He can help drive traffic and he can help maximize the other players on that roster apart from those two guards. You know, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen can benefit from what he can do as a playmaker. You have other spot up shooters like a Max Strus, like a Jalen Tyson. I think he would ultimately help that roster take another step forward. I'm not sure that they would be a title favorite when we're talking about comparing the Cavaliers against those two juggernauts out west in OKC and San Antonio, but they would most certainly be in the mix at the top of the Eastern Conference with the likes of the New York Knicks and any of the other teams you can talk about, like the 76ers, the Celtics, etc. So I think it would be a move that makes a lot of sense in several ways, but most notably that narrative aspect to see him end his career in Cleveland, I think is what you know, a lot of us NBA fans would love to see.
So given what we may or may not know about this whole situation, what do you think is the most likely landing spot, and what do you think would be the best fit for LeBron at this stage?
I think the most likely spot at this point would be Cleveland. I think selfishly what I would want to see the most would be one of two destinations. I do think the Golden State destination is appealing for several factors. You know, obviously him being able to play with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green would be awesome to see if they could pull off some sort of trade to get Anthony Davis out of Washington, which seems to be the biggest stopping point that everyone's talking about in relation to LeBron possibly going to Golden State. But I think the Philadelphia 76ers should also be considered a very real destination for his services, especially after they made that splash trade for Jaylen Brown. Now you're talking about a starting lineup that could have, you know, an ascending star in Tyrese Maxey, one of the best rookies we saw last year going into his second year of VJ Edgecombe. You obviously have Brown, like I mentioned, you know, when Joel Embiid is healthy and able to stay on the court. And then you put LeBron in at that power forward position. That is a complete starting lineup from top to bottom that can go out and play with the best teams in the NBA, including those aforementioned contenders that I mentioned in the Western Conference. That to me, from a basketball perspective, from a talent perspective, I think would give LeBron James the best chance to win a championship outside of joining, you know, the New York Knicks or those two other teams out west. I think outside of those three teams that we saw competing at the very end of last season for a championship, that to me is what would give him the best chance to win another ring.
We're talking all things NBA with Nathan Grabel from No Ceilings. Nathan, let's stick with a little bit of that Philadelphia-Boston situation. I want to get your thoughts on why Boston thought the time was now to move on from Jaylen Brown. We've all been watching the duo of Tatum and Brown for years. Work well, play at a high level. They won a championship and all of that stuff, right? But that's never the end all be all. It seems like it was deeper than that. So what's your understanding when it comes to why the Boston Celtics felt like they had to do this now with Jaylen Brown?
We don't have any official explanations from that Boston front office quite yet. I know we're on the precipice of a press conference that Brad Stevens will be holding a little bit later today to try to walk through, you know, what ultimately led to this trade happening now versus, you know, maybe September or, you know, even at next year's trade deadline. I think that's where a lot of people are confused. It's not just the quote unquote return that the Celtics got for Jaylen Brown. It's the fact that this trade happened right now, that there wasn't really a scouring of the market, at least from a public standpoint. Maybe the Celtics have been talking to several teams behind the scenes to ultimately see, you know, how much they could get back for Jaylen Brown if they chose to move on. But the fact that it happened now, I don't even necessarily have a clear explanation for it. I think where I've landed in terms of this trade for the Celtics to try and give any sort of explanation is, you know, they saw an opportunity working with the 76ers to get back a player in Paul George, who definitely isn't the sexiest asset available on the market, given where I think a lot of people feel about his value in relation to the amount of dollars that he's making on the last year and then a player option next year on his contract. But he is a player that fits their system very well. That entire Missoula ball system where they want to take a lot of threes and make a lot of threes, that's what Paul George has done best, you know, as he's aged in his career. And he did it actually at a really high level for Philadelphia when he came back off of that suspension and into the playoffs. Paul George was not the reason why the 76ers couldn't get over the hump against the Knicks. There's a lot of reasons for that as someone who lives about an hour north of Philly. But Paul George was not the main problem. So I get that he is not at the same level of a player in totality as a Jaylen Brown, but he's someone who fits what Boston wants to do. And then what will likely happen is he will opt into that player option next year, and he will be a massive expiring contract that Boston could utilize along with the assets that they got back from Philadelphia, as well as their own future first round picks to go make that next trade for a potential star. Now I've gotten a lot of pushback with that line of thinking saying, well, you're talking about a lot of hypotheticals for that to even come to fruition and for that to potentially pay off when you're moving on from a player like Jaylen Brown, who's in his prime and at the peak of his powers. But that's likely where this Boston front office wanted to land. They wanted to be able to trade into more financial flexibility and trade flexibility long term while still getting back a player who may not be at the same level as Brown, but fits what they're doing and helps them compete in the Eastern Conference next year in the short term.
Yeah, pretty wild. Pretty wild. It's a great breakdown of the hottest stories happening right now around the NBA. Nathan, we appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you soon, my man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care.
Appreciate it. Nathan Grabel from No Ceilings NBA right there talking about LeBron and Jaylen Brown. Just crazy, crazy stuff happening over the last few days, JP, with the NBA. The whole Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum thing, this isn't new to the NBA, right? Star players under the same building, fighting for the same spotlight. Kyrie, LeBron, Shaq, Kobe. Like, there's so many examples in the history of the league. There will be a tell-all one day, and I cannot wait to hear.
I want to hear both sides.
The why. Correct.
No, I want to hear from the three sides. Oh. I want to hear Tatum. I want to hear Brown. And I want to hear the Celtics.
Because they're at such a young age. Well, not such a young age, but they're at a young enough age. And they're both at the peak of their powers to where they were talking about at least another 3-year window of them being championship caliber.
Yeah.
And they felt like it was so toxic that they just had to take whatever they could get and blow this up. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So yeah, there will be a tell all. And it's crazy, right? He went to one of their direct rivals.
Yeah. To play with a guy who he talked about on his stream, called him a flopper.
Well, didn't lie.
Now that's your guy.
Now that your guy and LeBron may be joining them, so still a lot to unpack around the NBA. We'll hit the finish line of the show next. We'll tell the truth. We're Rothman and Ice right here on the
radio station is more than 100 years old. And during that time, absolutely no one has hosted more shows than the Common Man. I don't know why we're bragging about that, but I just read the copy, okay? And then there's Timmy. What can I say about good old Timmy? Well, he's a heck of a guy. All right, let's cut the bull. Common Man and Timmy host a show that'll make you laugh at immature things, overreact to whatever's going on in the world of sports, and probably embarrass themselves in the process. And we love them for it. Common Man and Team. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on The Fan. If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, Zeke, take it to the crib, my man. What do you got cooked up and tell the truth today?
The first one. We just need to document this.
Okay.
Will you be watching the game tonight?
So here's what I will be doing. I will have the game on my iPad, Love Island, on the TV.
Let me ask you.
So that's my night, fellas. That's my night.
Yes. Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Do you think Belgium has the things that you are looking for tonight?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know if I would want to go crowd surfing in their fan section.
Fair enough.
You know, there's certain fan sections that I've seen at the World Cup. I'd be like, I'd like to be over there with them. That is for sure. I don't know if Belgium's bringing that to the party, but yeah, they will be on the iPad.
All right.
Love Island will be on the TV tonight. I got a text.
I am not going to turn it on.
Okay.
And that's where I'm at.
Okay, if it becomes one of those things to where you see a buzz on social media about it.
I'll stay on social media.
Okay, like, hey, too late, you know, something like that, good game. You'll hop on the train then?
That's fair.
It's one of those, I get it. It's not for everybody. I'm one of those people with certain one-offs, if you will, like the World Cup and sports I'm not really dying to watch all the time. If the environment is good, JP, that's how I can get engaged.
I would like to be in the environment in person.
Fair.
Soaking it up through the television.
Okay.
I don't know. My living room still feels like my living room, you know?
What about that surround sound you got?
I don't have surround
sound. That sound bar you got.
We don't have a sound bar. We just have a TV.
What do you got, Zeke?
Next one for you guys. Going into the NBA farther in the East next year. I don't want you guys taking LeBron into consideration. Yeah, Boston, Jaylen Brownless. Philadelphia, now with Jaylen Brown. Cleveland, LeBronless. And then I'll throw in Toronto with Kawhi. Which of these teams heading into the playoffs do you think is going to be the highest seed?
I think it will be Philadelphia. I'm not going to be one of those people that gets caught up in Boston completely falling off. They were supposed to be that team this past season. They still have a star player with solid pieces around them. So I still think Boston will be in the mix, but I'm going to go Philadelphia. I think they're going to get their things in order. And I still think they can get there with while managing Joel Embiid throughout the regular season.
So that's my big question is how healthy will Joel Embiid be? It's part of the question for me with Kawhi. You know, like, as good as he's been, like, I mean, it's been 5 years of this kind of, like, he's hurt, now productive, the whole deal. So I don't know. Boston is interesting because I saw this stat that just shocked the hell out of me, but their winning percentage without Jaylen Brown on the court has been higher than their already high winning percentage with him playing in those games. So I feel like I want to lean there, but I'd say it every time I talk about them. I don't know if Joe Mazzulla can actually coach. I think they've got really good players. I think their front office does a great job, but when it's time for him to make a decision, he's standing over there with the crazy eyes holding the clipboard looking like he doesn't know what to do.
It's going to be interesting if he still goes about his business in the same way, meaning, hey, we're just going to live and die by the three. And I think that leans into what you're talking about, is he hasn't showcased that when this isn't working, I've got something else
turn
in my bag.
The damn page.
Correct. And so he definitely needs to showcase that. Toronto, they're on their way. I think JP touched on it. How many games are we getting from Kawhi in the regular season for them to get to that point? I just like the depth of where Philly is. I think Tyrese Maxey is ready to become that no doubt superstar number one for a team. VJ Edgecombe stepped in as a rookie and absolutely balled
out. Very good.
And now you're adding a guy in Jaylen Brown that you can knock some of his things. The guy's available. You look at his games play, the dude plays. And so I'm going to go with Philadelphia. I think they can manage themselves to a possible one seed throughout the regular season.
Now, there was a team that I left out specifically because I'm starting to question. I know the Knicks just won the finals.
Oh, here you go.
But after all this trade drama and everybody getting signed, are they still the team to beat in the East? Are they still reigning supreme? Or heading into this next season, does it feel like they might come back to Earth a little bit?
Feels like they got that grit factor that I do like. They got a defined culture.
Yes, I have to give them that respect because I think you bring up a good point, JP. This core, this goes back to college with these guys, right? So they know what everybody's about. They know what, you know, each other likes to do out there on the court. They know where everybody wants to be, yada, yada, yada. When you have that type of chemistry, I know they lost Mitchell Robinson, and Mitchell Robinson went to Boston. So that's a solid pickup for Boston, but you still look around and see Brunson and Bridges and Ananobi and Hart. Those guys are going to be right there.
Yeah.
They're going to be right there in the mix. So I would still give them that respect, Zeke, as the king of the East.
He's out
right now. He's out. He's a Cavs fan, though, so I get it. He's
annoyed
by them.
I've been out.
You're annoyed by the Knicks. I get it.
I was out the entire finals. I'm like, I can't believe they're actually pulling this off.
There you go.
They're bamboozling everybody. All right, next one here. Is there a series or show that cannot be milked dry for you? Anything they put out is gold. You're going to see it no matter what. For me, I'll give you mine off the rip, which is The Hunger Games. Okay. Anything they put out, I'm immediately soaking it up. Is there a show or a movie series that does that for you?
They could give me The Real Housewives of Des Moines, Iowa, and I would watch that with enthusiasm. Period.
What have we had on in the studio today?
OC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anything like that.
Yes.
That works.
Yes.
Just turn your brain off and enjoy that.
Real Housewives of Paducah, Kentucky.
And you're in.
I'm in.
I lived in Paducah. That's a crazy
really?
Toss out.
There
yes.
you go.
I did radio in Paducah for a year. That was the
what
only
would the
person.
Housewives be like?
Oh, it would be. It'd be trashy.
Yeah, I love
it'd
it.
Be dirty.
I love it.
That means
so
it would
dirty.
Be great TV. Then. That's what that means. I'm a sucker for anything that happens in the Game of Thrones world. Anything. The series, the original series, I love Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I am knee-deep right now in House of the Dragon. Never read the books. I think that's a little too much commitment for me. But anything that pops up on my TV.
Not a reader.
I like to read, but the amount of books, I don't think I'd be able to check them
just
all
stacks
up.
And
in the
stacks.
Same way that I like watching Harry Potter movies,
okay,
but I don't think I'll go back and read all the books.
How many books did you get through of Harry Potter?
Zero.
Oh, wow. He didn't even start with the Sorcerer's Stone. You know, that was like,
I did not
that's read. What everybody was reading that's back in the day. And you were like, I'm just going to watch the movie.
That's a fail by me. That is a fail by me. But Zeke, anything that happens in Westeros, I will watch. So HBO, they throw out Game of Thrones stuff. They'll get a view out of me. That's for sure. There's Tell the Truth for today. Hey, quick reminder. You guys miss anything from our show? You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Zeke, great job on the board. Appreciate you filling in. JP, you're back tomorrow.
Yes.
We appreciate you. As always, folks, we love you. Take care of yourself. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. The whole gang is back together. Common Man, Timmy, and Ted. So don't move. They'll take you to 6 o'clock. We love you. Stay safe out there. We will talk to you tomorrow at high noon. We're Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.